I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Go. 720 WGN. It is Friday, and it's the Cochran Show here on WGN. Justin Kaufman with you. Steve's here in a minute. We've got Mary Sandberg, Dave Ennett, Steve Grzanich, and of course Mary Vandervelde getting ready to take it through the final day of this week.
I think, like most people, we get paid every other Friday, and today is not one of our payday Fridays. However, when I woke up, I'm like, I'm going to check my account just to make
sure I didn't have
the days wrong, but we didn't get paid.
And what if you had found, like,
some extra
that you'd been paid in there?
I would have been so excited, we had not been paid. So.
Well, that's okay, because the Mega Millions drawing is tonight.
That's all right.
That's right. That's right.
Did everybody pay, Steve?
I have not paid.
Justin?
And I still don't have any cash.
You better get your
money.
There's an ATM downstairs.
Yeah, Venmo it.
Yeah, ATM's the last time I've been
You
to
can
ATM.
Venmo Dave.
I'll Venmo Dave.
Pay $2, and then he can give $2 to Steve, because he always has a little cash.
I kind of don't want to pay, because I want us to win and then there to be some conflict. You know, if we all button up and everybody's done their thing, then it's like, we're all rich and bored. You know, like, let's have a conflict. Let's have something that we can play out so the story can continue to be talking.
I know what your plan is.
What's that?
We win, we're all gone and you'll have the show.
It's like, I'll continue with my salary while you guys are all living
we'll be
off
like,
the lamb.
See you later.
It was a show I was watching. I was watching the House Hunters. Chicago. They had a Chicago one, so we watched it.
We watch all the Chicago ones
as
well.
Yeah, there was one yesterday or 2 days ago.
Even though they say Chicago a lot of times and it's Naperville.
But yeah, this was Kenilworth and downtown.
We saw that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they chose a weird one they chose. Anyway, afterwards, they had a commercial during it for Lotto, like Pimp My Lotto or Lotto.
Oh, yeah.
Lotto Millionaires.
Lotto Dream House. My Lottery Dream House.
My Lottery Dream House. And I thought about all of us. I was like, do we have to live together?
We watch that show, too. We do a lot of pausing the Lottery Dream House, and they're like, they won $3 million, and they're going to spend $300,000 in, you know, Columbus, Ohio. And I'm, like, trying to figure out if they have to keep their jobs or not.
So they actually do win the lotto? That's what
they actually have always won the lottery. Yeah.
The good thing about that is if we did win the lottery and we all had to live together, we'd probably get our own room, right?
Yeah.
At least.
And bathroom, for sure.
You'd think, right?
Me and Dave are bunking. We already talked about it. We're going to save our money.
We got to talk about that.
Matching Northwestern bedding, like in college when you coordinate with your roommate.
Two twin beds.
Not mine. Mine's orange and blue.
Two twins or one queen. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We get close. Let's win, and then we'll figure out the bedding and the room and board situation. All right, let's do the top six and six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right, let's get right to it. Meet the finalists for the jobs overseeing the Chicago Police Department reform. The mayor announced four finalists. It was a group. We got Chicago Federal Judge David Corr. That includes Peter Harvey, who was the Attorney General of New Jersey. We also have Jeffrey Kramer and Sergio Acosta, who are also federal prosecutors. A lot of former federal prosecutors, of course, because this would be who's leading the court-ordered reform of the Chicago Police Department. And also, Chief Brazier out of Sacramento. He's a favorite of the mayor. He's showed up a lot, like as in one of the finalists when it comes to the candidates for superintendent. So it seems like a lot of names that Maggie Hickey shows up. There's a lot of names that are familiar to Chicagoans if you pay insider. If it's like inside baseball for who would be running Chicago Police. So it's interesting to see the same names sort of floated again.
How many people decide on this?
I don't even know. To be honest with you, this is I'm not a big fan of the finalists. If you're going to be leading reform, just announce who it's going to be.
Yeah,
it's not like this is American Idol. I don't really care. Am I now going to go to Google and I don't have any say in this.
I think it's just an attempt in apparent transparency.
Yeah.
You know, since to make us feel like we're a part of it.
I guess it is, but it seems to me to be a step that could be avoided. I feel like there's no reason for us to know who the four finalists are to run reform for the Chicago Police Department.
Just name who it is. Stall tactic or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. It's just strange. It's not like it's someone that, you know, finalist for a head of a department or something that's actually going to have impact on Chicago citizens' life. This is for a federal monitor. So it's just strange to me that they would go this route and tell us every single person. But I guess you're right, Mary. It's all about transparency. All right, coming up. Let's just talk about can we talk about the Bulls?
Oh, yeah.
Can we just do that? Can we skip the rest of the top six?
I put the one highlight on there.
The one highlight was Jabari Parker started his Bulls career with a dunk, his first basket, and then it went downhill as the Chicago Bulls blown out by the 76ers. And not just blown out, because I truly feel, Dave, that early on you're like, oh, this could be competitive, but it got embarrassing in the third. I watched a stretch of the third and fourth quarter, and it looked like this team had no concept of what they were doing on the floor.
Well,
I was embarrassed.
You know, they came out, they were blazing hot, and then all of a sudden it was like back to 17 points in the quarter, 15 points in the quarter, and Zach LaVine and Bobby Portis both had decent offensive nights. LaVine at 30. The Bulls have the highest scoring first quarter in a season in their history with 41.
Is this a product of the NBA changing, where it's just because I think the 76ers had 102 points by the end of the third quarter?
Yeah.
Or is it a product that the Bulls just don't play defense? Or anybody?
Well, their defense wasn't very good. There's no question about that. I think that's a goal for him. And I do think they'll get better. I mean, Wendell Carter, it's his first game, and it was a tough matchup for him. There's no question. Joel Embiid had a big night for Philly.
They just look lost out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into the...
I'm reading into
some
it.
People aren't good at playing
I'm reading
from...
Into it.
No, I'm not talking about the outcome.
Gone. I want Hoiberg gone. I want starting five gone. I'm reading into it. Terrible loss.
Let me give you a little background here. So all week long, I've been telling these guys, here's who cares about the Bulls. The Bulls and their parents.
I disagree with it.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. The people that show up, when the Bulls start to win, this town will be a Bulls town again. Right. It's not a Bulls town anymore.
That's the issue, though. Last year, they failed at tanking, so they got the eighth or ninth pick, and here they are again in this weird, very early 2000s Bulls. They just feel like a team that's lost without direction, and I don't know.
Well,
I hope that changes by Christmas.
Well, again.
Okay, we're out of time on the Bulls. It's time to move on with the duck quack. Email showing that Trump intervened personally to stop the FBI headquarters from moving out of D.C. You know why? Anyone? That's right, because he can make more money if it stays in D.C. Who's shocked? Raise your hand if you're shocked.
Aren't you supposed to stay out of that stuff if you're the White House?
What?
Like you're not supposed to have that kind of...
You obviously missed a memo.
All right.
Next. Tony Preckwinkle, Chewy Garcia agree on a plan for County Revenue Forecasting Commission. Are they going to partner up?
I think they are. I mean, Chewy is the floor leader for Tony Preckwinkle and the Cook County Board, so I would assume that they're going to always partner up when it comes to...
Doing a new thing, mayor and vice president of the city?
The bigger issue I have is that you have two people who are not going to be there in 4 months making decisions for what the future forecast is for the county. That's the part that is a head-scratcher to me.
And 4,000 migrants, most of them Hondurans, are making their way north. President Trump has warned they'll shut the U.S. border down if Mexico doesn't stop them. This is all House of Mirrors, kids. It's all a House of Mirrors. And the president last night... In the midst of Khashoggi's horrific death, the reporter was laughing about the fact that a Montana incident occurred where a reporter was body slammed, therefore encouraging more abuse of reporters and members of the media. It's another day if you can't make it up.
So he's going to bring the military in to close the border?
That's the threat.
That's a threat?
That's the threat, yeah. Of course, we can always count on Mitch McConnell to back up what's best for America.
What I don't understand about that story, and I, you know, you can say one way or the other, it's trying to pass through a border is illegal, but they're fleeing from something. It's an advocate, it's an activist group, but they're fleeing from persecution and violence, which seems to be in the American spirit. That's how what we did to form this country. So it's interesting to me that the president is so hardline and almost makes these people out to be criminals.
Of course he does. Yeah, that's his move. Finally. If you were last night, let's go live to Sandberg. Were you at this restaurant last night?
No, it was in Naperville.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe you swung by.
Though I do love a good chicken taco.
Can Pepe's?
Yeah, the canned Pepe's Cantina.
Can Pepe's Cantina. This is tacos in a can?
You know what? I did not read. I know in Lincoln Square we have tacos in a bag.
Uh-huh. I've had those.
Flautists. Do they have good flautists over there?
Why wouldn't you have canned tacos? Canned tacos actually sound like a thing.
I do. Yeah.
Right?
I like
the bag tacos.
Yeah.
The bag tacos in Lincoln Square are quite something.
Yeah. Deep Dish Bertolotti has that restaurant.
But Kanye, of course, was in Naperville last night, because why wouldn't he be?
Yeah. The owner said he was really nice.
Yeah. We hung out for a while.
I thought so. Yeah.
What's he doing? Did they say what he was doing?
He's coming up to see me. Yeah,
I got the
Western house out there, as you know, as opposed to the double wide East St. Louis. And we hung out for a while. And I said, listen, man, what's this Trump thing? And then we had some tacos in a can. Top six is history.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
You know that open that you play?
Mm-hmm.
There's one portion of it that kind of sounds like, I mean, I think it's what it is a nail being pulled out of a piece of wood. But when I sit here in with my headphones on, it sounds like someone's burping.
Can you play it again?
Did you hear that?
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
I gotta say, I heard it more this week than I did last week. Yeah, our investigative team led by Super Joe really doing fun.
Wow. Are you a person that can burp on command?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither.
Nope. I have
Can you whistle loudly?
No, I can't do that either.
Like the people, I always wish I could do that.
And it's different versions, right? I've seen people do it with no fingers in their mouth.
Right,
and also
a funny expression on their face, and they can, call a dog from 500 yards away.
And then the two pinkies, in the corners of your mouth, or people whistle like that. I don't get that either.
That is a talent. I wish I knew how.
Anybody in the show do this?
I'm a good whistler.
Can you whistle loud? Can you screech whistle?
No, I cannot.
I can't either.
My wife can do
it. Yeah, no, John, that's
Who's
not exactly
that?
My wife can.
Really?
Yep.
What is screech whistle?
Screech whistle, just really loud whistle.
Oh, with your fingers in your mouth?
If you were a farmer calling in the pigs from the, like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you do that, Mary Vandeville?
No way.
I can belch on demand.
Let me put you down in the belch category.
I think we should go with the whistle.
Phil Jackson, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he could call pigs. He called pigs from all across the league. He was strong. All right, standing by is Mark. He is the first caller. Here's the deal. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
This is all sponsored by American Weathermakers, the 60 Minute Man. 855-955-HVAC. So the deal is Lou gets a lot of calls on a Saturday morning, and you may really need some information, and you go, I can't get through. This guy's too popular. That's why we have Lou's First Call on Friday mornings, and that brings us to Mark. And Mark's going to be a big winner as well. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Fine, thank you, and I appreciate you listening. What is your trouble?
My trouble is with sewer gas.
I understand that.
So, Lou, I recently remodeled a bathroom, and I reused the toilet, the fixture. I replaced the sink and stuff, but I reused the toilet, and of course I put a new seal on it. But I used, instead of a traditional wax seal, I used this newfangled foam thing that I got at one of the big box stores. And it seemed really cool. I'm sorry?
It's called a Sani seal.
Okay.
Was it green?
No, it was. It had a blue shroud, and then the foam was black, squishy foam.
Okay.
And it all seemed well. But then it was the first time I ever used one of those. But every now and then, when you're using, not necessarily using the toilet, but just in that bathroom, you can get an odor of sewer gas. And it's the only thing I can think of that maybe it's just not sealed enough. But anything else come to mind?
You didn't, when you did this bathroom, you didn't change any of the rough plumbing at all? You didn't relocate a tub? You didn't relocate a toilet?
Well, I did in order to, I changed out the sink, and I had to do a little bit of work with the supply lines to move them because they were in a stupid spot.
Right.
But I didn't change any of the waistline or the airline, I forget what you call it.
The venting, and you did not move.
Yeah.
Did you change the tub at all or no?
No.
Okay. Well,
nope.
I mean, it certainly could be that seal on the toilet is your problem. The issue there is the fact that pulling a toilet is a pain in the neck or the back.
Right.
Really, it's a great way to herniate a disc, by the way, so be careful. And I think that I like those foam toilet seals. They do a pretty nice job. The one that I'm familiar with is a company called SantaSeal, which is a green donut. It's a little bit more pronounced. I'm not familiar with the one that you used. It might be something that's just at the Home Depot, but I like those. As long as that toilet flange, you know, what you're connecting the toilet to, it has to be,
right.
It should be flush with the finish floor.
Okay.
Is that what you have?
I think so.
Okay. So then if you
I'm pretty sure it was, yeah.
Yeah. So if you did that, you know, maybe for the sake of this argument that it could be the toilet, maybe you go back to a neoprene traditional wax ring and see if that solves that solves your problem.
Mark, I salute the fact that you're doing this on your own, but this sounds like bringing in the professionals. This sounds like, you know, you got
to... he can do this. He knows what he's doing. I can tell he knows what he's doing.
You got that kind of stink going on, dude. You got to shut that down. You got to shut that down. This needs a professional. Shut that down.
It's only occasionally, Steve. It's fine.
It's a scary part. Yeah, it just shows up occasionally.
Sure, your wife loves that. Oh, it's just only every now and then.
Here's the good news, and it won't help you at all with this problem. An April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers is 60 Minutemen. Call 855-955-HVAC. Hold on, Mark, and good luck with that stink.
Steve, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be on a live remote at Fox Home Center.
No, I didn't know this. Tell me more.
We would love for people to come out. It's at 1150 South Cicero.
Go slower. I'm writing this down. Where is this again?
1150 South Cicero in Alsip. It's always a lot of fun. The first 300 people get goodie bags. There's breakfast, which is complimentary.
There's mimosas.
There's mimosas. Ooh. And
do we have a liquor license?
I just want to throw this out there, and then this, my producer doesn't know this yet. There will be a sing-along.
Oh, nice. I love a sing-along.
And you're going to force her to sing because she has a lovely voice.
She has a lovely voice, but it's the audience that's going to come because we're also going to have a live band.
Oh, wow.
Live
look at
band.
You. Big
love
show.
Yeah.
Big show. There hasn't been a show like that since we were at Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
Oh, I love that.
I hate forced participation from an audience when I'm an audience member. Like, I went to that Blue Man group.
Do you like lip sync but not sing anything?
No, I don't even. I sit there with my arms crossed and my lips pressed together like, don't you even think about
choosing
me.
Oh, yeah, they love audience members like you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Drum on my head.
You're so much fun.
Don't be dragging paper towel over my head in the audience.
Oh, look,
I don't
fun
want...
Sandberg's here again.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do when you were called to the chalkboard? Oh, always a nightmare.
Well, if I was right, Mary, then I enjoyed that.
Even if she wasn't right, she made the point.
Yeah.
And always a pleasure to have you on the show. This
you know,
is the part where I wrap it up awkwardly.
That you invented the Lou's First Call way back when you were at WGN.
The first time before I was running out. Just once.
Oh, yeah.
They hear.
Middays. Right? You were middays when we did this.
No, it was afternoons. It was the afternoon show. Yeah, it was the afternoon show. The first call. Lou's First Call. You know, I invented a lot of things. You know, I invented radio. A lot of people don't know that.
I thought it was Marconi.
That's what I called myself. It was Marconi in the morning.
It's a radio name.
The phrase that pays. You invented that.
The phrase that pays. That's right. That was all Mary's Morning Mix-Up. I don't know why any of this is confusing. All right, buddy. Enjoy your day.
Love you.
See you. Love you back. That's Lou, and you know who you are. Let's come back with the headlines next on 720 WG.
It's business time.
Well, we got somebody you need to meet here because she's better than we are. She's a nice person. Justin, explain what we do.
Well, this is the Download in Chicago Business, where we talk to leaders, for-profit, not-for-profit leaders, CEOs, talk about how they run their companies, but also what they do with their companies. And today, Saul Flores is here. She's with La Casa Norte, which has done wonders for the homeless community here in Chicago. Saul, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hold on. Let me get your microphone on. There you go.
Thank you.
Look, it running any sort of foundation is difficult. You're not flush with money. And a good portion of the time is spent trying to figure out how to do that. So how does that differ from a normal CEO's business in the big picture?
Well, I think we have many, many, many different stakeholders. So I'm trying to keep our clients happy, our donors happy, board members, neighbors, elected officials. So we have a lot more folks who are interested both in our success and concerned when we're not doing our jobs well.
And in regards to the homeless population in Chicago, how are we doing?
I think we're making some strides in some areas. In other places, there's a lot more to do.
Yeah.
A lot of what La Casa Norte does is really focus on families and children. As we see the summer and fall turn into winter, this is where shelters become much more vitally important to the Chicago area. For you, is this the prime time? Is this the crunch time to try and get homeless families and homeless in general off the streets and to some sort of shelter?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're concerned about folks being out, young people and families all year round. Certainly, it becomes an issue of life and death during the winter time here in Chicago. So yes, we work closely with other partners in the city of Chicago to make sure that shelters and drop-in centers are open so that young people aren't sleeping in cars or in unheated basements or garages.
You're putting a new facility together too, I understand?
Yes, very exciting. We've been working on it for the last 6 years. It's in Humble Park, a brand new 50,000 square feet.
That's community a big center. Undertaking.
Yes. We've been working on it a long time. A community center and new housing.
One of the stats on your website is it's about 19,000 kids navigate their Chicago public school education without having a home.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's an amazing staggering number for, and they're to even think of, you have to go to school. That's the safest place to be for attendance, and that you don't have a place to go after is why you're so vitally important in what you're providing for these kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, all of us had that experience of growing up, and I knew that I'd come home every day. I knew I'd get a snack. I knew where I'd do my homework. I knew where I could play with my friends. And that created a strong sense of safety and also my capacity to do well in school.
You had a foundation.
Exactly. Right. And so the fact that these young kids and young adults have to navigate without having that, that's not even a real first chance at life.
So as CEO, you've got to do a lot of things, including making sure the myths of the business are not propagated over and over again.
That's exactly right.
A lot of people don't know that families are homeless. Well, the average person thinks a homeless person is somebody that has an addiction problem and frankly is lazy or they've done something with their life that they could have changed one way or another. We all know that we are one or two paychecks or one or two missed mortgage payments away from being in the same thing. So talk about that for a second.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. One of the things I've said for years and the honor and privilege of doing this work is that homelessness is not an identity.
Right.
It's a set of circumstances.
And temporary.
That's right. And you talked about the fact that oftentimes in this country, we criminalize the poor. We say you've made one or two bad decisions and guess what? You're going to pay for that for the rest of your life.
Right.
Versus we know that young people and families and even adults, human beings have the capacity to heal, to be resilient. And why not offer folks that opportunity to have a leg up?
And nobody wants to live on the street. That's the amazing thing. When people go, well, get a job. Nobody chooses to live on a sidewalk. That's crazy.
And here's the other thing you mentioned. Mental illness is also not a choice.
No, of course not.
And so substance use, well, yes, it's an action that someone has taken. It's also a disease. Addiction is a disease. And when we start treating it like heart disease and cancer and diabetes in this country, we'll go further.
Right.
There is a symbiotic relationship you have with government, with the city, especially in that they have public shelters. And we've seen this story over and over and over in the last couple of years about funding, about budgets, about these shelters being at capacity. This fight for affordable housing in the city of Chicago, a real not in my backyard vibe from neighborhoods. How do you, as a CEO, navigate all of that tricky area of when it comes to the political realities of homelessness?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly right. So my organization has hired me and I've committed to that mission to be the best possible advocate that I can be. So that means talking to every possible elected official or appointed official to educate them about what is happening and to fight like heck. for resources that and policies that we think make a difference in our city. And you're right, we're often having to walk that fine line between we support this policy, but it's not enough.
Right.
Or you've gone, you know, sort of 10 blocks and we wanted you to take 20.
I wonder with a lot of the things that are happening in our society that we have relied on in the past for governments to fix, and we're seeing more and more that they're just not able to do so. Should it just be privatized in the way that there should be more groups like yours with funding available from the corporate communities or whatever that take on this issue, an issue like homelessness, and just leave the government out of it?
Well, you know, I don't agree with that necessarily. I mean, no one can really, besides government, there actually is no other entity that has the wide lens of actually what's happening across cities, right? And government has that power and capacity along with purse strings. Now, does the private sector need to continue to step up? Yes. I think Chicago's corporate sector is very vibrant. Can they do more? Yes, we can always do more. We also have a big city and there's a lot of needs, right? And folks do come here. But I think it's about the partnership, right, of public and private coming together. As a nonprofit organization, we're held to the highest accounts, right? They're making sure that we're not committing fraud and, you know, doing everything in compliance, that taxpayers like you feel good about where your money is going.
Right. You know, so you said this new facility is opening in Humboldt Park in December. You're going to have ribbon cutting in January, and it's 50,000 square feet.
Yes.
So similar to other businesses like a Best Buy or whatever that overexpanded and got too much real estate, but this was 6 years in the making of this size. Have you been also thinking about the next step after that?
Oh, yeah. Great question. Thank you. So it was 6 years in the making. And along with the housing component, we're also going to have a healthcare center and a nutrition center. So it's a multi-use facility. And yes, beyond that, we're looking at projects on the south side. We've been talking to the mayor and some local community groups about Chicago's first tiny home village for young people who are homeless.
It's a great idea.
Englewood community.
It's a great idea.
So yes, we'd love to do that.
My final question just is about, we've seen this in Los Angeles and San Francisco. There's actually an interesting progressive idea in San Francisco about a tax on businesses for the homeless population. You're seeing in Los Angeles, the tent city in downtown, where it's almost becoming its own neighborhood with a name. We have a tent city with the homeless just south of downtown. Are we seeing governments change their approach to homelessness and being more open about the idea that housing has to be available, or that instead of what we've done in the past where we just sweep them, get them out of the way, and they'll find their way, that we might be seeing a sea change when it comes to homelessness?
Yeah, well, I think what we're seeing is that you can sweep, you know, in January and folks come back in June, right? I mean, it's going to be a cyclical issue unless we have real foundational work that helps to catch folks when they're in crisis so they don't fall so deeply. There is an affordable housing crisis in the city. You know, and yet we have whole neighborhoods that are still segregated, right? We have whole areas that are unpopulated. And so I think there's a lot more that we can do. I also want to remind folks that housing is just the beginning, right? And once folks are stably housed, then we work on getting kids back into school, helping moms be the best possible parents, going to school, right? Going to work. I mean, no mom that I've ever met, Justin, over the last 16 years doesn't want to be the best possible parent. And all that starts with a home, but also she has to feel like she's in a safe neighborhood, right? And this is a place where she wants to raise her family.
It's interesting.
We are pounding on people to vote. It's harder to quantify what politicians are doing in regards to the cause of homelessness and the poor than it is with some other issues, because it can be so broad. Where do you do that kind of research? Where do you find out who is doing a nice job of supporting what you and others do in this this line of work?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one is you could look at budgets, right? Budgets really speak to what elected officials support.
Sure.
And in the state of Illinois, we could look at our human services budgets over the last few years and what has happened and what hasn't happened. I think voters can also go and look to see, you know, how they're approaching partnerships with community. Are they keeping them distance away? How do we think about drug users? How are we thinking about the mentally ill? How are we thinking about folks coming back from incarceration? Voters can educate themselves on those policies.
Yeah, as a Christian, too,
the great hypocrisy to me is when somebody claims to be a Christian and they go, well, listen, I'm dealing with those people. Those people. You start a sentence with those people, you talk to me about being a Christian. You talk to me about what a good person you are. God bless whatever health and happiness you have in life, and you ought to figure out a way to share it with others and to work harder to do what you can to do good in this world. And what you do every day and your folks do every day, it's amazing.
Thank you.
You should be proud of it.
Thank you. Thank you. We are.
What's the website?
www.lacasanorte.org.
Sol Flores is the founding executive director of La Casa Norte, and she was our guest here on the Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank.
And you can
Thanks,
help.
Sol. Thank you.
You can donate there, right?
Yes, and volunteer. We have Christmas gifts coming up. Lots of ways to get involved.
And in case you didn't know, La Casa Norte means...
The house on North.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, totally knew that. Totally knew that. 2 years of Spanish. I got that totally. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Happy
very
Friday.
Much.
Have a great weekend. What's coming up?
We're going to be dissecting that eggplant that Pete got next.
Yeah, good, because we have a crime and we need to solve it. Yeah. Stand by for that. Getting closer and closer to Halloween, and we'd like to tell you it's a Halloween prank, but frankly, we don't know that that's true. Yesterday, right around this time, we told you that Pete had another eggplant drop, and an eggplant drop is not something you want in your world.
So just to give people up to speed real quick, eggplants all summer, or a couple times this summer, like...
Starting in the spring, I think
Yep. People are dropping them off, and there's a carved kind of... distorted A on
right.
Mm-hmm. All right,
it's not really an A; it's a distorted like half star.
The listener suggested we cut it open and see if there's anything inside. Yeah.
So because we don't know why these have been coming. We don't know if it's a threat. We don't know if it's a weirdo. Well, obviously, it's a weirdo. So you're going to cut into this now.
I am going to cut into this now.
That's a weird way to cut it.
Anything
Mama
inside.
Had a baby and its head popped off. Oh. What?
What is
that? Didn't you ever do that with a daisy?
With daisies, but not eggplants.
All right, open it up, open it up.
All right, what do we got? I don't know what an eggplant
looks appears.
I know. If this is tampered, I wouldn't know the difference.
It appears that inside the eggplant is an actual eggplant.
This is very Geraldo of us.
Yeah, that's, yes.
It doesn't seem like we...
It doesn't seem like we got anything. No green
conclusive.
Wires, no
that
red
looks
wires.
Looks like an eggplant.
I've it's got some
eggplant.
Grated Parmesan over here if you guys need it.
I'm looking for something tiny. I don't see it.
Stop cutting. You're going to cut your hand off.
You know, the other thing I thought about yesterday, Pete, was a possible bugging device from Eric Ferguson in the mix, something where they could tap into our genius. But I don't see any bugging device in that eggplant either.
Me neither. Mm-mm. It smells. I don't like it.
So we now know that the eggplant is indeed an eggplant not some sort of imposter.
That's right. And we know nothing else.
And that's it. So this was inconclusive at best.
You've been listening to an inconclusive conclusion.
I also saw yesterday, I was cleaning the yard, and I saw an eggshell, an empty eggshell in the backyard.
So you have a dead bird somewhere?
I don't know what's
fetus?
Going on.
Maybe the word egg is the key here. Is there a threat of egg in your life in some word, a weird way? Do you like eggs?
Love eggs.
You like chickens?
No. Is it possible you just have like a swashbuckling squirrel? like a swirl that
I would love. I would love to see a squirrel carry an eggplant. That's a video that could make some money.
Or a muskrat or a city rat.
The mystery continues. Live from the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Steve is next.
37-yard drive for Luckenball. Here's the snap placement. Kick by Luckenball all the way. It's got the distance. The kick is good! The Wildcats win! The Cardiac Cats strike again!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
7:13. Coach said it last week on the show. He said, hey, Steve. Doesn't have to be a blowout. We just need one more than they got.
That's right.
How about one more plus a couple? Dave, who's this brought to us by?
It's brought to us by Land Rover Northfield.
Once again, Coach, you've proven to be much smarter than I am.
No, we just used all the plays you gave me when you were up in the office. We just saved them for the final drive in the 2-minute play.
Was it weird to have any of your offensive players with a twig trying to drag into the ground? Okay, you go here, head towards the Buick. Because that's generally how I call a play.
Well, no, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you gave me last week.
Right.
You go around the tree, take a left at the mailbox, all that stuff. So,
this kid kicker looks pretty good.
Yeah, the best part is we put him in the same situation yesterday and he missed it. So, we'll take the one on Saturday. But then he came back the second time and made it. So all was right again with the world. But, yeah, really proud of Drew, you know, a young man that, you know, his football talents speak for themselves. But his talents, he is an entrepreneur. This young man is one of the smartest people I've ever been around. And, you know, just so proud of him.
When you send him, obviously he's that smart, he kind of knows the situation when he goes out there in overtime to kick the field goal. Is it one of those things where it's like a pitcher when he's got a no-hitter going, nobody talks to him? Do you say anything to him when you send him out there in overtime? Did his teammates say anything to him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the battery, you know, of Tyler Gillikin and Jake Collins, you know, those guys have typically, the way we've done it here, have been the one that will talk to the kicker in those types of situations. You know, just because that group spends so much time together. You know, I usually have some really good coaching advice. You better make it, you know.
don't miss. So,
yeah, you know, no. You can't put a negative into their head.
Oh, I got it. Once again, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's why he's a coach.
Yeah, keep what you want in their head. And, you know, the best part for us is, you know, Nebraska called a timeout when we were right before we snapped the ball. So, you know, we teach our guys, hey, take a swing. You know, let's see what the wind does with the ball. And, you know, Drew put the first one right down the middle, and he comes back the next time and does the same thing. He knew it as soon as it left his foot. I don't know if you could tell that, Dave, but, I mean, he struck it and was like, yep, that's it. My life is different forever now. Here we go. So, really proud of him. And you know, it doesn't happen without Tyler and Jake getting the ball down, and then obviously the protection up front.
Yeah, you're right. He looked away even before the ball reached the uprights. When you went back and watched the tape of that game, was there anything that you saw from the last 5 minutes of that game that you didn't even notice or couldn't really pay attention to in real time that you went back and looked at and said, hey, I didn't see that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, the fourth down catch by Ramad Bowman was a huge play. You know, that was, you know, he had to go up and climb the ladder a little bit. You know, I saw the I was a little blocked. And then, you know, the play by J.J. Jefferson, you know, Clayton will never admit this, but that ball was intended for Flynn Nagel.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, J.J. makes that play, and then as a freshman has the wherewithal to be able to get himself in the end zone. You know, if he ends up a half a yard short, you know, we've got to play for that. But, you know, that would have been the first time we would have had to go into that type of mode in a game. So for a freshman to make that type of play was big time.
Got Rutgers, and then it gets considerably uglier. How do you avoid a letdown?
Well, you know, we talked to him a lot about understanding where we're at right now in the season. And you know, Coach, you know, Parcells said it best, you are what your record says you are. And we're a 500 football team right now that has a lot of work to do to get better. And, you know, we're continuing to work and grind. This is the next step in the process for this team. And we've got to go out and play our best game of the year. And you know, we've played pretty well on the road. This will be a little bit of a different challenge for us, you know, here on Saturday. You know, it's a team that's scuffling a little bit. So we're playing a wounded animal. They'll be ready for us. There's no doubt about that. And we've got to match your intensity early and, you know, just continue to improve as a football team, which my hope is after the way we practice this week, we will on Saturday.
Coach, you know, for being 500 right now, you are 3-1 in the conference and you know, at the top of the Big Ten West, which is impressive. You've got some big games coming up with Iowa, Wisconsin, even Illinois. Is that the focus right now, to win the West and take care of business in the Big Ten?
You know, right now our focus is to go 1-0 Saturday. That's the bottom line. The rest of the stuff is things that you earn throughout the whole process of the season. You know, they're also young men and they're in college. I know when I was in college, there were things I was thinking about I probably shouldn't have been. And, you know, you address it, you talk about right now, hey, listen, we're in the driver's seat. We put ourselves in this position because of winning Big Ten games. And the only way we stay in this position is if we find a way to win this game. So, you know, it's always a challenge to go on the road. This will be our longest trip in Big Ten play. And we're hoping that a lot of our fans that are in the greater New York metropolitan area will come out like they did for the Pinstripe Bowl. We had great support at that game, and our hope is we'll see the same thing here this Saturday.
Is it weird playing a Big Ten opponent that you've never coached against?
Yeah, this is a first.
Right?
Yeah, how about that? How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's you know, when's the last time we played Rutgers, Dave? You know,
I was there, 1991.
Were you?
Yeah.
That was in high school.
yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's right. What friends are for.
pregame tomorrow, Dave. What's up?
10:30. Kickoff at 11 from Piscataway.
Beautiful Piscataway. And Coach is brought to us by who?
Again, brought to us by Land Rover Northfield.
Have a great trip, Coach.
All right, guys. Appreciate everything. Have a great weekend. Go Cats. Bye-bye.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, you know what? I forgot in my car today. It's down in the parking garage. Circus peanuts. Ugh. The worst Halloween candy ever.
Why do you have them?
Because I'm going to have you guys eat them on the air, and we can shoot a video of it, and you could see how awful they are.
No.
Yeah.
Thanks.
They're like pink. They're pink.
You're welcome.
They're orange. They're orange. Yeah. They're just disgusting.
They're insulation.
They're insulation.
Like the color of baby aspirin.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. You like circus peanuts?
Like these are the worst.
I know they are. I don't think I've ever eaten one.
No. Why would you? You're not a prisoner.
But now I'll eat one today.
Except for when we have to put a video together.
Right.
For the
exactly.
Show.
Exactly.
Why would you dare eat those?
I like the thought of them staying in the Tahoe indefinitely.
Well, they're in there till Monday
do they
now.
Melt? Yeah. They don't expire. Those
they're not coming up today. No,
that's true.
No.
They don't expire.
Yeah. Like when you look on the package for the expiration date, it said, "Don't worry, it's fine." That's what it says on the label.
I think that they. They look like similar to something that kids would now use as a fidget toy. You know, the squishy stuff that they all like. It'd be fun to squish one, maybe.
Well, I mean, they're a very versatile Halloween candy. You can whip it at your brother.
Yep.
You know,
show displeasure to an umpire.
Right. And if there's something on the bottom of a four-leg table, like you lost one of the little stands, you can shove one under there.
If you have a corn in your foot.
Exactly.
When you guys were kids, did people hand them out individually?
Oh, we didn't have Halloween candy when we were kids. When we were kids, all you had were rocks.
No,
you just get a bag of rocks and you would take your gravel to the next place.
They're not individually wrapped. So did people hand them out? What did you get them for as a kid?
Circus peanuts?
Yeah.
They'd usually be put in plastic bags by grandmothers who wanted to get rid of them.
Okay. What do you call the candies that are in that orange and black, the almost like the strange?
The peanut butter nuggets, Mary Jane's? No. I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. They're like a taffy.
They're peanut butter.
Black and orange. And,
you take two bites in the aftertaste.
Should have ate the wrapper. Should have ate the wrapper.
Why, Mary Vanderbilt, you keep bringing up Mary Jane's.
I think she just likes them.
Street slang for marijuana.
Mm-hmm, well, my sister's name was Jane. Is Jane? Mm-hmm, so you know, we was like the Vanderbilt candy.
Tell it to your attorney.
But it was so terrible.
Yeah.
They're so hard; they break your teeth.
Catherine, my stepdaughter just texted me. She's like, "Worst candy are Almond Joys," and then a bunch of throw up faces. So she's
Almond Joys.
But that's a perspective thing because perspective of kids today is: can you believe anyone eats that regular M&Ms? Oh my God!
Well,
we had terrible candy.
Yeah, it was pretty
bad. The reason we're talking about it is our most valuable person on the planet is Max Temkin.
Who was scheduled to join us.
That's classic Max. He's a good guy. But he doesn't know clocks. But the founder of Cards Against Humanity, they're handing out worms, gummy worms, but they're don't forget to vote worms. So that's what they're doing at their office up on Elston. So you can
I like they
on.
Actually got packaging.
And did
the
they?
The packaging says, "Oh God, please vote."
Right. And it's a way to get kids to go home and nag their parents. You're going to vote, right, Mom? You're going to vote, right, Dad? Right?
I don't know about you guys, but I love when I'm sorting candy, my son's candy, to find political messages. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Here are the flavors. Due process cherry, rule of law lemon lime, separation of church and grape.
I love it.
Give me liberty or give me blueberry. Our political system is backsliding into authoritarianism mango.
Authoritarianism mango. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
12 pack of candy costs $8.95, only available for shipping in the U.S. Cards Against Humanity said no surprises with worms.
Just worms.
It's Cards Against Humanity, the political version. And I think Max was a terrific guest.
It's a great. Cards Against Humanity is a treat to have in Chicago. The game is super, super popular, and they continue to have fun with politics and being socially conscious. I love them.
And so much fun they couldn't get on the show.
Yeah, Texter at 708, Jimbo says, Mounds and Almond Joy are disgusting.
All right, well, let's roll with this then. Text question of the day. Worst Halloween candy.
Bad candy, bit of honey with the 815. I don't agree. I love
it. Totally.
Bit of honey.
No, you're all wrong. 312-981. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 if you want to use the whole number. Text in and tell us the worst Halloween candy. You know, I'm going to go with candy corn, too. I think candy corn's
the best. Oh, that's the best.
I like I like the pumpkins.
Love it.
Whatever, the mallow creams. Oh. The pumpkin, the candy
you
corn.
You like
pumpkin.
Those?
I do. I like to eat the stem off first, and then I eat half the bottom, and then half the bottom. It's a three-bite.
That's hard to do. They're so tiny.
Yeah, they're little.
It's stick ridiculous. The whole thing in your mouth.
It's ridiculous.
I feel bad. Kat's going to be mad at me, because I love almond joys.
Yeah, I do, too.
I love almond joys.
My husband.
I would love black licorice ones. Into this pile.
Oh, black licorice is awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Those are those good and plenties.
You know what black licorice is? It's strawberry Twizzlers. It went bad. That's what black licorice is.
My mom used to have good and plenties in her purse, and we would sneak them, but then you would eat it, and then it would taste terrible.
Joke's on you. Yeah.
I know, but then you'd have that short-term memory thing where you would...
So what was it, like penalty candy? Like, well, so you keep it in your purse?
She knew you were sneaking through her purse.
She enjoyed it, but you would, as a kid, you're like, it's pink, it's white, it's got to be good, and you would take one, and then it was like, oh, this is horrible, but then... You know, a few months would go by, and you're like, you know what? Maybe I'll get a good one. There might be a good one in that.
Because kids try to believe.
Right, because they're pink and white, and then you eat it, and it makes you sick.
Dave, worst Halloween candy?
I would say wax lips.
Yeah.
But that's a good look, though.
There's been a lot of wax lips in the office.
It's not a great candy, but it's a good look.
We have a bunch of those wax lips here in the newsroom and on our candy counter.
And those dots stuck on the paper.
Yeah, those are, because you eat
paper. Bite off and eat the paper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can you stick up the little bottles with the food coloring in them?
Yeah.
It's actually LSD.
Yeah, I give them away at TV and me.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah. All right. And apparently it's LSD. It's 7:30. We're back with the headlines next.
I will say this, Steve, that I said that Max Temkin was clock challenged.
And now turns out he wasn't.
I feel bad. He did call at 7:20. We just missed it.
Thank you, Max. We're sorry. We were in the middle of talking about stupid things.
Max is a buddy, but I was like, hey, you know, he is still clock challenged.
But in this case,
so the last guy.
In this case, he showed up on time, if not early.
An animal.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. The Hall of Famer joins us now. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, I'm good. I'm just thinking, by the way, your traffic report's sort of like the Bears game on Sunday. Lots of breakdowns everywhere. But, you know, it's unfortunate. That was a Hollywood script. All we had to do was make some tackles, our little kicker make his field goal, and now... You know, we've got Tom Brady rolling into town, and this would be a big-time showdown. But anyway, it's a game we've got to find a way to win. And what better way to test yourself than a guy that's won 5 Super Bowls?
All right, now I'm going to go down a road here that's well-traveled. It's the late 80s, the mid to late 80s. We have a quarterback named Jim McMahon. Not Hamp's favorite guy. You come off a win, largely a defensive win, week after week after week, and a legend's coming to town. Maybe it's Joe Montana. How do you prepare an average quarterback, because honestly, that's what Trubisky is at this point, an average quarterback to go up against a defense and a team with a legend?
Well, quite honestly, you're not going to have Trubisky throw 6 touchdowns this game like he did 3 weeks ago. So he's just got to stay within himself and eliminate mistakes. You know, the special ones. We had this question yesterday on Pro Football Weekly. If you were going to start a new franchise in Oklahoma City, and they said you could have one guy in the NFL today, right now, one player, which one would you take?
Kiko Alonso.
And Juan said, and Hub said, Aaron Rodgers. But I said, he's 35 years old. I'd take Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
Right now, I'm just telling you, the kid's got something special. Well, regardless, Patrick Mahomes didn't beat Tom Brady last week. He, threw 4 second-half touchdowns but come up short. So it's not going to be about the quarterback beating the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. It's going to be about the other 52, and hopefully that means a lot of guys on defense. And they're able to get to the quarterback, knock him around, and the only people that seem to be successful against the Patriots are the ones that can get in his lap, knock him off the spot, and make him throw some bad footballs. And you don't see it often, but when it happens, you got a chance to beat it.
Dave, when you played in the leather helmet days, what would you have done to prepare for a legend?
Oh, I would have probably retired from the game at that
okay,
point.
All right.
Yeah,
oh,
I would have scared.
Stay out of Hemp.
But Hemp, if let's say Khalil Mack, and I think, you know, it's kind of, a lot of people think he will play, but let's say he doesn't play. The Bears have only played five games with Mack on the field, and clearly he was hurting last week when he was in there against Miami. So it's not a lost cause, is it, if Khalil Mack can't play on Sunday?
Well, you'd hope that he's, you know, this isn't a one-man show. And obviously, Akeem Hicks has something to play for. You know, he mm-hmm. last week was not his finest hour. He had been ejected from the game before that. He played for the New England Patriots before he came. So you're thinking that he's going to want to play well. It's not going to be heat index of 98 degrees, so he and Eddie Goldman should be a lot bigger factor. But Leonard Floyd, you know, I know that Vic Fangio came out and said Leonard Floyd played pretty well. I don't know what film he's watching. You know, this is a high first-round draft pick that has to be more of an impact player. And if Matt can't go, then it's the, you know, it's the sum total of the other guys. Can they make enough plays to frustrate the Patriot offense? But I'll tell you, just like on schedule, I think, you know, the Patriots always kind of come out of the gate a little sloppy, and they win they win a game or two and lose a game or two. But I think over the last 5 years, games 5, 6, 7, and 8, those next four games after they get off it's into October, I think they're 18-0 or something crazy like that. So they know how to bring home the bacon, and that means protect Tom Brady, the receivers run the, you know, proper routes, and they don't drop passes. And now they've got a running game. Michelle is their young running back. He was over 100 yards last week against Kansas City, which isn't saying a bunch, but, I mean, these are all factors that the rest of the defense is going to have to find ways to match up and nullify. But, you know, Khalil Mack, he's special, but he's, you know, he can't be the only player we have on defense. And if he doesn't play, then we got to forfeit. Not going to happen.
That wouldn't be a good thing. We're going to come back and swing the light bulb over your head a little more as Justin and Dave, and I assume Sandberg, maybe even John DeCoste, are going to grill Hemp. Stand by.
On this January day in New Orleans, 46-10, the final.
Back with the Hemp, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's go around the horn, Justin.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Chicago right now, Dan, it's very interesting that we are down on Trubisky. He's had two really impressive games, and Adam Hoge tweeted out earlier this week that he actually has outplayed Patrick Mahomes from a quarterback stats performance. Do we have some sort of Stockholm syndrome in town where we're just so used to not having quarterbacks that we're just going to expect unrealistic expectations for this young man?
No, and you know, when you trade up and give away the world to acquire a player like Trubisky, the bar is going to be very high. And sooner or later, you know, he's got to understand, you know, the first half last week down in Miami, it was, I don't want to say unacceptable, but the great players, you can't play like that. You know, he was missing reads. He was overthrowing players. He was being very inaccurate with his passes. These are, you know, let's talk about Tom Brady real quick. Forget Patrick Mahomes. Trubisky is our quarterback, and we can't change it. So it is what it is. But right there, coming into the segment, you heard the thing about the Super Bowl a long time ago. Think about this. You know, I was in Hallis Hall yesterday. I was up there, and I had to see some people. And in the lobby is a beautiful big glass case, and there is the Super Bowl trophy. Singular trophy. The guy that we're going to play in 2 days has not only played in 8 Super Bowls, he's won 5 of those trophies. So, you know, you can say what you want about, well, Trubisky's played better than Mahomes. If you've got some brains and you realize that you want to be not only viable this year, but for the next 10 years, you got to think about, hey, your quarterback has got to be, the ringleader. He's got to be the lead dog. He's got to make the plays. He's got to be the one that you hitch your wagon to. And when Trubisky goes out and stumbles around like he did in the first half last week, it's just not good. Now, I know in the second half things were better, but he only had a three-play sequence due to interceptions where we were able to jump back in it and score, and now we're 21-10. And now the defense is falling apart, and they're not making tackles. So, you know, this team, it's got to find a way and a formula that ensures it's got a chance to not only win each and every week, but they can stay on it. You know, to say, well, we're going to have to run the ball 200 yards this week for us to win. Sometimes you can't do it. You got to be able to find a way to win each and every week. And for a quarterback to play at a super level like Tom Brady, boy, that's the quickest and easiest way to kind of mark it down.
I don't want him to get really hurt, Dave. I just would like him in the hospital, you know, maybe overnight. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Something minor.
Dave?
Something. No, you don't want that. You don't want that. But you used to get, Hamp, every team's best shot every week. New England gets that as well. They're used to that. But how much inspiration should the Bears be able to get from just the knowledge of this opportunity they have playing this team in their stadium on Sunday, a team that obviously they have not had, not a lot of teams have had success against?
Well, and see, that in itself, those are the, what would you call it, the behind-the-scenes type of happenstances where you can either make or break a program, where you can say, you can go back a year from now and say, that was the game. I remember in 84, the Raiders had won the Super Bowl, and they come in, and they're big shots, and we, in a vicious Titanic clash where both, I think, five quarterbacks had to be carried off the field. We won a game that the next year, when everything started, you know, going sideways here or there, we could point to and say, remember what we did there. Well, this could be that kind of game. I remember in 1981, with Neil Armstrong was still the head coach before Ditka was brought in, we played a great game against Dan Fouts and the San Diego Charger offense where we almost shut them out on a Monday night. And that was a game where it was a statement game. You hear that all the time. Well, that can be an opportunity on Sunday to make the statement that this team can kind of rally around for the next 5 years or 10 years or whatever it may be. Because, you know, in your point, Dave, about the New England Patriots, they get the A game from everybody each and every week. Everybody wants to beat the Patriots because, you know, hey, what I said, they've been to 8 Super Bowls and won 5 of them. I think they've won 2 out of the last 4. So everybody's going to give you their best shot. And you know how you got to tip your cap to not only Belichick but Tom Brady. There's been a lot of flux around them. Different players come and go, but those two guys are the common denominator, and they have been basically the very definition of excellence.
I want to take back
as close to excellence as you can get.
Hamp, I want to take back what I said. I don't want Brady in the hospital overnight. Maybe an urgent care.
That's
maybe like a convenient care where he's in and
better.
Out. That's better.
Dan.
Maybe just the ambulance.
That's it. That's it. Ambulance and they take him back out.
Belichick's record against quarterbacks that are 25 and younger is very successful. Is there something he does defensively to scheme for that?
Absolutely. And see, everybody talks about, you know, quarterbacks, oh, well, you've got to be able to throw, blah, blah, blah. Well, you got to identify who's going to be open and where to throw it. And that's basically called getting your reads. Well, he has had the luxury most of his tenure in New England with having a very smart group of secondary members that can kind of seamlessly go from zone to man to different types of hybrid blends where a quarterback really didn't know exactly what he's doing. And that's what we saw in the first half last week. Patrick Mahomes, who everybody's raving about, had 2 interceptions and looked very frustrated. In the second half, he was able to kind of identify certain things and get it on track. How quickly will Trubisky be able to identify what they're trying to do? Will be the ultimate tell of the tape of how successful he can be. Now, they don't have the greatest personnel. You know, I mean, our personnel in defense vastly superior to what New England's is. They're just smart, and they know they'll be playing with the lead about 85% of the time, and they know how to play with the lead.
Khalil Mack's got to get on the good foot, and a great song, by the way, and obviously a better game from Trubisky. Predictions, Sandberg.
I'm going to go with a 14-14 tie.
Oh, boy. Again. That's just outrageous. Dave?
New England 27, Bears 21.
Dustin?
Bears 28, New England 24.
Wow. Bears 13-10.
13-10?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good luck on that.
Yeah.
Now, if we can keep him under 30, I'll be shocked. let's say 28-27, unfortunately, in New England. They find a way to win.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That's Dan Hampton.
All right, see you Monday. Go Bears.
Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, it's Steve Grzanich. Stand by for that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, 12, D. Richards is live in Scotland, but we continue with more on entertainment. Oh, it appears he lost
a
quarter.
Listen to that accent. You could just picture Dean in the phone booth. Phone booth.
Yeah, going, I need another pound note.
I heard him on with Bill and Wendy yesterday.
You want to just replay that?
He was able to connect just fine. Great. He really spoke highly of the Queen movie. And I believe he said he was wearing a kilt, if I hear correctly. Yeah. And he might be bringing Bill a kilt back from Scotland, Edinburgh, or whatever he was at.
I could pull off the kilt look.
Ooh, and he talked to Chris Pine, and then they made a Scott Pine joke. Scottish Pine joke. So it was. Right.
Sounds like a great interview. Dean, good morning.
Yeah, so the hilarity ensues here when you got somebody named Chris and you're named Pines and you're in Scotland.
Oh, sure.
The humor is endless, really.
No, it really is. I know you've only got a couple of minutes before you have to see the Queen. How was the Queen movie?
Well, we haven't seen the Queen movie yet. We're in Edinburgh, Scotland, right now. The Chris Pine movie, which is called Outlaw King, it's going to be on Netflix, and it's quite good, really exciting, sort of like an old fashioned epic, kind of Braveheart like, but I actually think it's a little more exciting than Braveheart. We're doing the interviews at a castle just outside of Edinburgh right now, and then we'll go to London tomorrow. That's where I'll see the Bohemian Rhapsody movie. That's where I'll talk to the cast of the movie Bohemian Rhapsody.
You know, here's the thing. I think Chris Pine, and my friend Adam Ferrara is here. He's in town doing stand-up at the Improv. You have a similar problem to Chris Pine, I think. You guys are too handsome to be taken seriously.
That's it. Yeah. That's why I bring this magic to radio.
Yes, that's exactly right. Chris Pine, Dean, is too handsome to be recognized as the fine actor he is.
Not in this movie. He's covered with mud. It's one of those, he's a 14th century Scot fighting for the independence of his country. So he's, covered with mud. And in one scene of the movie, Steve, just like you in Grumpy Old Men, full frontal.
Yes. Yeah. And they didn't even ask for nudity. I just provided it.
Right. That's actually...
Some people don't want to pay for wardrobe.
Right. Exactly. Right? Or exactly. Catering.
Right it is.
The real headline of today, though, is that first haggis today.
Oh,
how was that?
Yeah. No.
Was it good?
Stomach.
Did you eat it?
Yeah. Stuffed sheep stomach.
I ate it. It was delicious.
Oh, good.
Very, very good.
Good.
It's sheep stomach and liver and hearts.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Do you have mad? Do you feel the mad cow coming on yet? I mean, it may take an hour or two.
You know what's good about that? We're going to have that backstage at New Year's Eve, haggis.
Are we doing that? For the big New Year's Eve show, we're going to have haggis backstage.
Dean, was it haggis with gravy or haggis with potatoes, or what was it served with?
Well, I had rib haggis, sort of like a haggis sausage for breakfast this morning.
Oh, okay.
And then just now for lunch, they were serving like a haggis with a potato on top of it.
Oh, sure.
And this whiskey gravy that they put on it.
Gravy.
Do they have any other food?
No, it's just
it's
that.
Just haggis?
I'll
trade a haggis.
Yeah, I had a haggis Snickers bar a little
Just repulsive. Just repulsive. No wonder they needed us in the war.
I've gone full tilt Scottish. I'm wearing a kilt. I've learned how to play the bagpipes in the last 1 hour. I've gone full Scott.
Yeah, well, don't kid yourself. It's a hot look for you. All right, I know you've got to go see all this other stuff. Will you be back on Monday? Can we talk about all this on Monday?
It will be. Remember if I'm actually in the air on Monday or not, or I'll do my best, and then I can tell you about this Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
All right.
See that tomorrow.
There you go.
All right, sure. Buddy. Thank you very much. Thank you. And by the way, when I said we'd be back on Monday, I thought his answer was clear.
I wanted to tell Dean to go to Frankenstein. It's the discotheque in Edinburgh. Been there a couple times.
Yeah. Look at you, country name dropper.
Yeah, right?
Look at you.
My parents used to take me to a Scottish bar, Edinburgh Castle Inn. I think it was like in the Edgewater.
This is all so eerie. I played a golf course in Minneapolis called Edinburgh. This is bizarre.
I got a cousin named Scott.
So it works out. In this club, this Frankenstein club, at a certain point, 10:30 or whatever, they lower a Frankenstein doll and they play some music and everyone goes crazy. And it's the version of a Rush Street club that will take that stop.
Well, it's
for
funny.
Everybody to
you just described
shots of rum.
Adam Ferrara's closer.
That's
this is
it.
How he closes the show.
That's the Frankenstein doll coming down.
Yeah, I got a bit about Mary Shelley.
There you go. It's right there.
That's what I do.
Should
human beings play God? What happens when you do create? I'm building a man in the basement.
Adam Ferrara, Rescue Me, Comedy Central, Top Gear US,
Hello.
60 Minutes. I mean, come on. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
You're at the Improv all weekend.
One of my favorite clubs. I'm back at the Improv in Schaumburg. I will be two shows tonight, two shows Saturday and Sunday. But the biggest news is I'm going to the game Sunday.
You're psyched, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm pumped. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you heard the Patriots? Have they had any success?
Okay, I'm a Jets fan. So it's like that's my Frankenstein.
Oh, it is.
I'm one of the villages with the torch.
You really are.
Burn the monster.
So you want the
burn
Bears
the
to
sweatshirt?
Win.
Yeah.
So what are you wearing to the game? Tom Brady sucks shirt or something?
Probably a kilt, from what I heard. They're
yeah,
very
they're
popular.
Very hot. Now.
Quickly, as a Jets fan, how do you beat the Patriots?
If I knew, I would tell you. It's like being a Jets fan.
We only play the Patriots.
It's like being in an abusive relationship.
It really is.
I'll change. Take me back. No, you won't.
Yeah.
No, you won't. Like last year, the Eagles. I was great because it was like I was the abused woman in a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden at the end, the Eagles were like the state trooper that comes and helps me and holds my hand and we're walking out to the gazebo after the monster is slain.
Right. You got to write that, by the way.
Oh, God.
My favorite Jets thing is when Mark Sanchez ate the hot dog on the sideline.
Yeah.
And everyone made a big deal out of it.
And then the butt fumble. And Rex Ryan with the feet.
What a rich history the Jets have.
The only highlight we have is Joe Namath. Yeah. That's it.
This is it.
Waving
running off the field, waving his finger.
That's it.
The last good day Jets
That's
fans
it.
Had.
Yeah.
And that was 49 years ago.
Yeah.
Other than that, things are
January
good.
12th, 1969. Yeah. Perfect.
How are you, by the way?
Perfect. Angry.
What are you angry
The Jets.
Other than the Jets, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm happy. This is beautiful.
Right?
This is, you got your own Ferris wheel now. Look at this.
Greatest radio station in America.
Here's what I like. Radio, and you have this view for radio.
Right.
That's
well,
perfect.
I'm a bit of a diva. Yeah. How's the family?
Family is good. Everyone's happy. What did I have to report to you now? My mother's in that gated community. My mother's at that age now where women start to dress like Elvis. You know?
I think Chico's has like
that's
a whole
it,
line.
The Chico's, yeah. I got it at the Chico's. And it's either Elvis, there's a lot of animal prints like Bret Michaels. Yeah. Remember those that's 80s really, hairbands with the zebra pants?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So you wear all black and then you throw in a little bit of zebra.
Yeah.
And then
can she sing?
No, not at all. They, she stopped smoking.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. She's 75. Now she stopped.
Yeah.
She stopped smoking, and she's in the gated community because apparently she has to be kept under guard or she'll spread lasagna and guilt throughout the neighborhood. So I go. Whenever I'm home, I go. And the guy in the guard shack is older than she is.
Right.
So, but you know, but we're paying for this with the homeowners association.
Sure,
I feel so much better. Yes. Because if anything breaks out, Orville Redenbacher is going to be the first one to throw himself on a grenade.
Do you like when the window goes down in the car and he looks out and you go, "Yeah, my mom." He goes, "Oh, whatever."
No,
just
not
drive.
This guy. This guy abuses his power.
Oh, you got to show him ID.
No, not only ID. He stands out in front when he sees you make the turn because you can see you got to go up the driveway.
He
halt. Really, Larry? Halt.
State your I'm here every other week. You know it's me. I sign stuff for your grandkids. It's me. He's like, state your business. Okay, the cream isn't working on my mother's feet. They still itch, Larry. We might have to switch the ointment. I got to go look at the little piggy that went to market. She's got a rash. You want to come with me?
Does mom have a lot of friends in this community?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they love when you come over?
No. I go to the day room. I take the hands. And yeah. My mother was the king of the day room when I was on Nurse Jackie.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because I was working with, my son is working with Edie Soprano. So they all... I
know. Got Anthony.
Yeah. So they all watched. The car show, they're like Top Gear. They're like, what? Car? No? Are they English? You know, she couldn't get the right...
How does mom describe it? She said this. My son was with the fireman.
My son, yeah, my son. Well, my mother actually scolded Dennis Leary. We were doing a rescue. It was a rescue comedy or the Toyota Comedy Festival. For some reason, we were working. It was Carnegie Hall.
Okay, Hall. It's fairly good.
I think it was Toyota Comedy Festival. So Dennis hosted. We all went up, and I did my set, and I killed. I was gross. It was one of those sets where God goes, let them laugh.
You can have this one.
Yes. He would be the vessel to bring joy to the people. You know, it's not me. Right? So
so God does sound like James Earl Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am your father, Luke. I am your father, Jesus.
So your mom...
Turn this water into wine.
So what did
All
your
we
mom-
have is fish. Make it last.
What did your mom do to Dennis?
So I got a standing. I was killed in Carnegie Hall. And my parents were at the were in the audience, and I was talking to Dennis backstage. I said, my mom and dad are here, so he brings me back out for an hour where I take a bow, and he's like, and your parents are here. Your son just played Carnegie Hall. You got to say, and the lights, went on my parents. At the end of it, my mother comes over to the desk. Don't you ever do that again? I was so embarrassed. I didn't know people were going to be looking at us. What the hell is wrong with you? Dennis got all shit.
I would have worn my cheetah pants.
Yeah, I would have worn my... Had I known, I would have worn my Bret Michaels headband. Every rose has its thorn. My parents, they would, because they were always coming to events and stuff. And very supportive. So we were playing, one year we did the Rescue Me Comedy Tour. I was playing Radio City. Mm-hmm. And I said, Pop, I'm playing Radio City Music Hall. He goes, yeah, your mother says you're also playing the Mohegan Sun Casino. We're going to go to that one. He don't care. I said, are you going to come to the show? And you go, I'll be there, unless I get on a rush. But I'll be there.
What's the one with the slots?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Because they found out their Caesar's Palace points were transferable.
Oh, they love you.
Oh, they did. They love you. But, they want to gamble and everything.
Of course, and you can't blame them. Yeah. Stick around. More of that in Ferrara in a second. You want to get tickets for tonight, tomorrow night, his Sunday morning brunch show.
Khalil Mack, baby!
The Khalil Mack Show. Simply go to chicagoimprov.com. Get your tickets right there. It's Adam Ferrara. More in a moment.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Adam Ferrara's here, Chicago Improv, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shows tonight, 5 tomorrow, a couple on Sunday, it just goes on and on and on, there's no stopping him.
That's right.
Worst Halloween candy ever.
Worst? Yeah. Candy corn pulls your fillings
totally
out.
Yeah, totally
candy agree. Corn is the worst. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Reese's.
Racist? Okay. Yeah. You know what I used
your
to
chocolate
like?
And peanut
we used
butter.
To go to the rich kids' neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because you got the
yeah.
full-size candy bars.
Absolutely.
And they used to give out full-size Charleston Chew at this doctor's house.
Ooh.
Remember the Charleston Chew?
Yeah.
So you take it, you put it in the freezer, and they were long, so they would freeze, and you take it, and you smack your brother in the head with it.
Fantastic.
And then, because it breaks up into pieces.
Yeah, and that's how you...
I don't know what he's talking about.
And that's how you make it last.
Yeah.
You know what you do here? You go to Oprah's neighborhood, she gives you land.
Really?
Yeah, she just hands out deeds
That's
to land.
Funny. What'd you got? I got Montana.
Worst candy from the listeners? Whoppers.
Mothballs?
Whoppers and malt balls, yeah.
No, that's not bad. Candy corn's worse.
Good and Plenty.
Good and Plenty, I like. I like
Circus
like
Peanuts.
Thank you, Adam.
We talked about those earlier.
Circus
Peanuts,
which doesn't have any color to any.
Black Licorice, which was my blues name, as you probably remember.
That was my dancing name.
And popcorn balls. I've told you this before.
I'm not eating popcorn
balls. If you have this condition, get to a clinic. chronic. I mean, yeah. Very quickly, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's true, yeah.
Ask your doctor.
That's right. Jiffy nuts. Same thing. Really bad in the summertime.
You got some TV coming up other than the
I got a movie
trip?
Out now called Little Italy with Emma Roberts, Hayden Christensen.
Wait, you're playing an Italian?
Ooh,
yeah.
Hayden Christensen.
Hey, look at you. A little Darth Vader thing just happened to you. Look at you. The kilt did nothing for you, but ooh, the mask. And the voice.
So what happens in Little Italy? Give
Little Italy, it's two war. It's Romeo and Juliet with two warring pizza families, and I play Lord Capulet. So I'm Emma Roberts. I play Emma Roberts as Juliet, and I play her father. And Alyssa Milano plays my wife, and Andrea Martin plays my mother.
Oh, great!
Danny Aiello's in it as well. He played
what a
my
cool
father.
Cast.
Oh, it was so much fun.
That's
yeah, it was so much fun.
Out when?
It was in theaters in September. Right now, you can get it on demand. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it wherever you get yourself.
Okay, that's 2 hours of my weekend right there.
Called Little Italy. It's very cool.
Anything pizza based is pretty.
I learned how to throw pizza.
Did you?
Yeah. Which was really cool.
But you're not eating
now,
pizza.
Now, that's the best. No, I can't eat. I told you, I come from enormous people. I can't eat. White flour? What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
I grew up on pot. You know, I eat pasta 3 days a week in my house.
Right,
and
right,
then your
right.
blood sugar spikes, and everyone goes down, and all my relatives come together. Because Italians, what they do? They put a kitchen in the basement. They paint it red and green.
Yes, that's right.
And they live down there.
Yeah.
So you're like the designated driver of your family? You're the only one that wasn't?
Here's the thing. I go to California. I get married. My wife's a hippie. We're talking off the air. So I eat like very healthy. She's very health conscious. My wife, I come home, and you just take the ridicule. Hey, kale boy. How you doing?
Yeah.
How's your fish? How's that? I go, really? How's the type 2 diabetes going, Johnny? What do you got, 8 toes left? Yeah. Why don't you just drink your cheese? Have some haggis. Just make your aorta shut down completely.
Oh, God. When you walk in, you say, halt. As soon as you bring the food over.
That
halt.
Guy, I'm telling you, he's going to be there. Larry.
Larry, the guardhouse
Sergeant
guy.
Sergeant Larry, guardhouse Larry. And the thing is that I can drive right around the little sting he's got.
Yeah, right.
And, you know,
but out of respect,
yeah,
for the great tradition of guardhouses, you go through the pain.
I do the dance. It's me. Sometimes I just mess with you. Go state your name. I'm not kidding. Eleanor Roosevelt. Roosevelt. Eleanor. You know, he'll write it down.
You got to get the paperwork.
Yeah, this is his big thing. Right, it's like when you go through TSA. That's their moment of power. Don't mess around. Yep, let them have their moment of power.
Yep.
I'm on the phone with my mother. I'm flying here. On the phone with my mother. She's on speakerphone. I put the phone in the basket. I went through TSA. Took my shoes off, the belt off. She's still talking. The entire time as I'm going through there. And they got to search me, so I got the wand. And the guy's wanding me. My mother's going, so I made the chicken. I can't have any more chicken. Every time I call my mother, it's what she's making for dinner, how bad is the rash, and who died. Those
right.
are the three beats.
And
what are you doing? I don't know. Maybe I'll make a nice pinwheel steak tonight. The rash is still intolerable. I'm in agony. And do you remember Rosemary from 4C, the block 4C? Remember you helped her carry her groceries?
Sure.
Yes, I remember. Dead. She's dead.
She's dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's it.
Great to see you.
You too, my friend.
Website?
Adam Ferrara, Facebook. Oh, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock your time. Go to my Facebook page. We do this thing, Talk to Me Tuesday, where I turn the cameras every week. I get thousands of people come by and watch my wife scold me in the kitchen.
How great is that?
Yeah, I sit in front of the kitchen sink because that's where we get the best internet. And
right.
I get these people that come back every week, so come and see us.
Good times.
I'm at the Improv till Sunday.
One of the best stand-ups in the country by far.
I'm going to the game
as well.
Sunday!
Going to the game Sunday, and he's looking for someone to take him. It's Adam Ferrara. Back of the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Live from the world's greatest radio studio. I'll say hi to my mom and my sister. They're road tripping, unfortunately, to a family funeral this morning. And they should be somewhere on the edge of Indiana and the beginning of Ohio. So say hi to them if you're on the highway. Where's Halloween candy? Chuckles. I got to be honest with you. I sort of like Chuckles.
I like Chuckles.
I love Chuckles. Yeah, they're Chuckles nice and sugary.
Can you buy Chuckles anymore?
It's like yes. a gummy?
Yeah, like gummy, yeah. different colors.
Got it.
Well, and an orange slice, right?
Yeah, like an orange slice, right.
Yeah. I love Almond Joy, and I teach junior high, so the day after Halloween, the kids bring me all the Almond Joys that they don't like. 219, Mary Jane's are bad enough, but even worse are the peanut butter candies and the orange and black wrappers.
That's what we talked about.
The kisses.
Talked
about. Those are called peanut butter kisses.
Universally the worst, right? Everyone knows that.
847, worst candy I got was insulin injection. Who gives out insulin? 773, peanut butter kisses. That's the orange and black thing we're talking about. Bottle caps, Halloween candy, wrapper on the paper. Halloween candy wrapper.
You know what I've been
paper?
Getting a lot lately when Miles goes in the neighborhood is granola bars.
Oh, yeah. People think they're doing something.
What do you live in, San Francisco?
I'm just saying, you'll get them. And when you spread out the candy, it's granola bars.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm just...
With chocolate chips? I mean, that's kind of candy.
Sounds like someone gives out granola bars at the Ennett household.
No, but I think about this. Do any kids come to your house?
Yeah.
You must have a reputation.
No, we don't get them.
Yeah.
We try. We buy candy every year, and I always bring it in here because we don't get trick-or-treating.
They don't even know how to get down to your house, though, correct?
Correct.
Yes, okay.
Well, the reputation gets out.
You know?
All it takes is 1 year handing out bags of kale, and that's it. 847, worst candy, short, painted rubber tubes that taste like black licorice. Yeah, they're awful. Peanut butter taffy, Tootsie Rolls. 810, actual root beer. Delicious root beer flavored candy. Nasty.
Yeah. True.
And so it goes. 312-981-7200.
We're getting somewhere.
Is the number. Mika's here. The director of her Malcolm X College Medical Assistant Program is here as well. So let me say hi to Mika and Christine Joga.
Zoga.
That's the one. As I stick my tongue in my ear. Hi to both of you.
Good morning.
And I said, Mika, it's Misha, yes?
Misha, yes.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
So tell me how you got involved.
I've always wanted to be in the medical field from a little girl because I have families who are... aunties who are RNs, so it took a minute, was a little nervous, but I pushed myself to get into the program. Actually, I got into the program on the last day of accepting students.
What were you doing with your life before you got in? Because so many times with city colleges, we hear about people who are very busy with their own life. You know, it could be a single parent situation, or you're working hard, and you just haven't had time for you. So how did that break out?
Actually, I graduated from Lane College with my bachelor's degree in biology, so once I finished, I came home, rested for about a year or so, then went back to school for CNA. That didn't work out too well because I didn't pass the test, so I kind of gave up, went into the work field of just corporate America. Didn't like it at all. It wasn't satisfying to me. I'm just like, you're going to give it another try. Don't give up on your actual dreams and goals. So then I found the MA program, and it was awesome that I did. So.
Christine, there's been a lot made in the last couple of years about a shortage of people in medical assistance fields. So how important is it that Malcolm X College and other college programs come up and really try to fill the void or at least get kids involved or people who want to make transitions and careers involved to help in this way?
It's extremely important because the shortage is not even Chicagoland-wide, it's nationwide.
Right.
And we are fulfilling that need. We're actually working, starting in January, we're working with a cohort of hospitals. We're actually training their incumbent workers into clinical positions for them to help fill this need.
The need is so interesting to me, too, because it's such a noble profession and one that has been a long-standing profession in America or around the world, nurse and medical assistants. Why is it that there's a shortage? Is it just that it's exploded in the medical community and there's a shortage of... Or that there's more opportunity than ever?
We're de-incentivizing people to get into the medical field, right?
Yeah. And the other thing is cross-training is the new buzzword, and one of the most cross-trained entry-level employees is a medical assistant, and they discover that. So medical assistants are involved in a little bit of the insurance portion, they draw blood.
Very valuable.
Very valuable.
Utility player all over
all
the
around.
Clinic and the office.
All around.
How about the new facilities at Malcolm X? The college looks beautiful.
Amazing. It's amazing. We have top-of-the-line equipment to train the medical assistants, and it's all in line with what's being used in the field right now.
Yeah, and for people that want more information on city colleges, Google it up. The city does a nice incentive program to help you get there. All right, what are you going to do? You got how much more time left in school?
Actually, I'm officially done with school in May. Thank you.
You're getting the rare sitting ovation.
Awesome. Thank you. So while I was in the program, I actually was pregnant. So it was very intense for me. Some days I was just like, I'm tired. But other days it's like, keep going, keep going.
Boy or girl?
I have a girl. She's 5 months old.
Name?
Wow. Samira Williams.
Congratulations. God bless.
Thank you. Actually, funny thing is, guys, last week of finals, I was taking my finals while I was in labor.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you deserve a little extra credit.
Yeah.
Bonus.
I did not want to fail. I kept telling Christina, no, 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 don't just give
what
me.
What a cool story to tell your daughter someday.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And you're... I'm now working at Rush Medical University.
Well, you got a great personality for this because you're going to deal with a lot of whiny people in your life.
Yeah.
Some of them in this room.
What have you learned from the program? What have you learned and from your time, your experience at Rush, that you didn't know was going to be a part of this job?
Actually, Christina taught us everything all around the board. Like, seriously, from the time of how to deal with patients who kind of, like, are angry a little bit, how to deal with patients who don't know too much about the medical field, to give them, I want to say, a little bit of breakdown where they understand not so much of the big medical terms a little bit. I've learned that you have to be patient because in some point in time, you're going to be that patient on the other end where you're not too understanding, or you have to tell family members, hey, this is what's going on at this time or this date. So I believe that the medical assistant program with Christina is amazing. Like, she goes in depth about everything, like literally everything.
Good student.
Very good student.
Yeah. How many kids are you giving getting jobs to, connected
so our
to?
Our placement rate is very high. We're in the high 90s.
That's a big deal.
Awesome. Right.
Good for you.
Does it help that I know that's just a geography thing, but the Malcolm X is located in the district, the hospital district there. We have Rush, you have the, you know, Stroger.
You can go right out of class, go right to work.
But there's
right, just
there's,
right down the
exactly.
street.
But there's something said to be located where the industry is located.
Actually, that plays a big part. A lot of our connections for our sites, our clinical sites, for job placement, we're right in the middle of it all.
Yeah, and your students can go to class, literally, go to work, come back. Yeah, I like that. Good call by you, because I know it was your idea.
It was. It was all my idea.
City colleges, for anybody that's curious about what they can still do with their life, don't ever give up on your dreams. And City College is a great way to do it, whether it's Malcolm X or anybody else in the system. And good for the mayor and the city for stepping up and helping push the message. Anything else, Christine? How do I pronounce your last name again?
DeZoga.
DeZoga! DeZoga and Misha. Sounds like a law firm.
Yes.
Good to see both of you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A good Friday song. Let me just slide a little bit. It was better when we were on, you know, ground level at the Tribune Tower because the people on the street could watch me dance. A little tougher up here on 18.
No, the people in the Swiss Hotel want to see something.
Well, I'll shake it. Let me shake it a little bit.
Step away from the window.
Shake it a little bit.
Right up on the window. There you go.
Put your backside on the window.
Yeah, there you go.
They're waving to you.
That's how you clean the windows here. Hi, John DeCosta is here. Nice to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back. Everybody is so nice.
Many requests for your musical talents. Eric Edelstein's waiting for, his song. Samberg, who else did we promise a song to?
Greg Flam from DuPage Pickers said he's good. I think we were promising a lot of songs while you were off.
Actually. Yeah, he basically told anybody.
We just, Misha and
asked.
Christine, we just told them they could have a song.
Yeah. Oh, like, sweet. This is, wow.
So aren't you glad you're back?
So glad. Yes.
You got a gig coming up?
Well, actually, because I've been off because of the knee surgery. So my next big gig, which I'm so looking forward to, we had him in here about 3 weeks ago, but the Assisi Foundation out in Crystal Lake, Lee Linkletter, November 3rd, Saturday, at the Crystal Lake Country Club.
Why, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. And I cannot wait. They're so good. And
remember when they brought those cute little kitties in and you were playing with them?
Yes. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and I actually, we went to...
Regardless of that, go to the show.
But we went to see, where they kept the animals, and it's just phenomenal, and for adoption. 30 years of celebrating. Get tickets at 815-455-9411. Come out and see me, come out and see them, get a dog. It's just such a good thing. I'm so glad I'm part of it.
By the way, speaking of tickets, starting next week, we'll start plugging this heavily.
Oh, yes.
For New Year's Eve. We got a couple of details we're still working on, but we're going to have the biggest, baddest New Year's Eve show you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's online now.
Ever.
So,
I mean, ever. I mean, it's Guy Lombardo. Guy Lombardo, big Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Big.
Right.
From Guy Lombardo to Beyonce to Dick Clark to Ryan Seacrest.
I don't know if her name is pronounced Beyonce. It's Bonice is who's actually going to be there.
I thought you said Beyonce when you booked
it. I might have messed that
up. Of course,
she
probably doesn't work for $200.
The Y and the N are very close.
Yeah, they're pretty close.
I wasn't clear. Did Dean, is he on for New Year's?
Let me just say this.
Are you still courting him?
Dean's close to not being on for New Year's Eve if it continues. That's all. That's all. I'm just throwing it out.
No, but we do. We have Dean, no, Dean will be there with us, and Rocky LaPorte. And at the Tivoli, downtown Downers Grove, our third year there, 18th year total, but that's our third year, it's gorgeous.
We cannot promise this, but we may do Dueling Rockies at the end of the show.
I know.
Yeah, Dueling Rockies.
That'll be a blast.
All right, so you've had both of your knees replaced.
I had both of my knees replaced. I feel really good. The second one, it's been 2 weeks. The second one was harder just because of the swelling.
You were very cocky for the first one, which was in February, yeah. I think, and you walked around, no pain. This is great.
True.
No swelling. The PT
right.
is easy. Yeah.
Right. And you mocked other people who
and
had
knee surgery.
I remember
I spit in Mary Sandberg's face. I go, take that.
Yeah.
Which, that's when I had to go to HR.
That's when I went too far.
Yeah.
It was, the first one was easier, but this one, but the swelling's gone down, so now it's.
So what's your advice for people? I mean, if people listening right now are going to do this, what's your advice?
You know, we talked about this before, but I had physical therapy 7 times so far in 2 weeks. It's not horrible. Just you have to do it,
and it's going to hurt.
It's
going to
hurt, but it's not going to kill you. And you just have got to do it.
You
got to
do it.
Yeah, it's mandatory. The more you move, the better you move, and it goes away. It does. It just gets so much better. So.
Now that you've had both knees done, you going to update anything else? Do an elbow, maybe?
No, but, you know, I will tell you this. The day before we had surgery, that Sunday, so I had it Monday, the 1st of October, my wife and I, Jackie, came down here to do the riverboat tour and to take a look at the new studios. And that day, we walked all over the Riverwalk and through and everything like this. Without that knee surgery on the right knee, I never would have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Any chance you're going to run on 100 meters and say 10?
I am,
Ten
Pete
plus.
Zimmerman's wife and I are just, she just got me.
Out,
yeah,
turkey trot?
Yeah. Basically, I'm going to drive to where the end is and make sure I meet her there.
But this is life-changing stuff.
It really is. It actually is. And, Steve, we've talked about this. Your knees are as bad, if not worse, than mine.
Yeah, but they're pretty. They're still pretty.
They are much better looking than mine. Yeah. But it is a life-changer. I know it's. I had them both done in 1 year, so let's get rid of 2018. But I'm ecstatic because it's
there is. No pain. I think a doctor said this to my mom. Just looked at her and goes, "Hey, here's some news. Stuff wears out. You know, right. If your body's like a car, that's a lot of miles. Eventually, you're gonna have to have a few things replaced." Dave, this is not great news for you at your age.
No, it's really not. That's why I try to take care of it.
Right. No. Do you have anything that hurts on you, Dave? That we can get replaced?
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you ever get achy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, sure.
What hurts
sure.
when you get up in the morning, other than the fact that you have to work with me?
No, that's one of the things that brightens my life, Steve. Not really anything, fortunately.
So you don't have the...
His pride.
He you don't have
up,
the...
He's like, oh, God. Got to go in a car.
My foot hurts once in a while, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's okay. I just walk. I keep walking.
When did you start to turn into a workout fiend? How old were you?
I don't know. Probably in college, I think.
Yeah, so you've been doing it ever since then?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not enough time for you and I.
No, I don't have a shot. Although I'm gonna try to do my goal for 2019 is to do your climbing thing.
The stair climb?
Yeah,
I'm actually
going
to try that.
Yeah, you'll be on our team.
Yeah,
yeah,
that'd be great, Chuck.
I'm gonna have my own team. Okay. Whoa. Yes, I will be on your team.
Okay,
in it to win it. That's the only one I know of.
180 floors.
You could come off the bench. So you only have to do a couple of things.
No, I expect to go be pulled up on a bench. I want to go up. I will be held on a bench.
Maybe some kind of tarp.
This is a little Cleopatra-like, but this is how this is going to work.
Like a bar mitzvah.
A firefighter will carry you.
But up the stairs.
Yeah, do the firefighter carry. That's it.
Yeah, they carry everyone.
Well, we're glad you're back, John.
No, you're very kind. You're very kind.
Let's do this. Quick break back with the news in just a moment. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to Endless Love in the Dark?
Oh, what can I buy? This love I have
inside. I'm swaying right now. I'm swaying.
I'll give it all to you. My love.
My love.
My endless love.
Give me a minute. I'm going to need a minute. We have someone in studio who's heard more love songs than anyone ever, 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 ever. Jason Drake's here. His book's called You Stay Classy, Wedding People. Good morning, Jason.
Thank you for having me. And yes, if I hear one more love song, that will be too soon.
Yes, I'm sure it is. How many weddings?
About 25 a year for 13, 14 years. I was never very good at politics. So.
But if you did the math, we're talking thousands?
Several hundred.
Several hundred minimally.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think your math is off. Yeah. The book deals with some of the wacky stories you've seen, some of the things you've dealt with, but also there's legitimate tips in here on how to hire the right videographer and get a great picture of your wedding.
Absolutely, and it starts with hiring me.
Right, of course. And if you're not available...
If I'm not available, then these are tips for other people to navigate and to make sure that they can learn from these train wrecks so that their day is not ruined.
Train wreck. Describe it. What's a big mistake people make?
Big mistakes, speeches and scheduling. That stuff can be solved weeks, months ahead of time. They plan everything to the last minute. For example, one wedding coordinator planned a ride in the trolley from the Congress Hotel to Irving and Damon in 15 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
That will never, ever
At any time of day. And when the planning goes south, how does that affect your job?
It means I have no time to set up. It means the possibility of me missing something. And you're paying me a lot of money. And if I miss your vows because I had 30 seconds to set up two cameras, two microphones, yada, yada, yada.
What's a videographer? What's not a great videographer like yourself, but what's a good videographer cost?
It can range anywhere from $1 to $2 to $2,500.
Okay.
I think it depends what kind of end work you want. Like if you're getting a
absolutely
full video at the end or the montage.
What package you order?
Yeah.
Yes, there's many different packages. And
if there's stunts. Possibly in special effects.
Impressions, routines.
Right.
Those are extra.
In the early days of videographers, there was this expectation that you were going to make a video. You were going to put you're going to put music, do the whole montage kind of thing. But you've seen more in recent time that they just want the raw footage. Which way do you go when it comes to videographers? You still go to the first one?
The first one, because you can make it look really nice with these highlight reels and effects and music. And when the slow motion video hits the right lyric, it's awesome.
A couple of stories of your favorite party stories.
Sure. Well, back to the advice for speeches. It amazes me in 2018 how people still don't know how to use a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hold it at their waist and they'll go mumble, 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 mumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll motion to them, hey, put it by your face.
Because you don't want to be in the story at that point. You don't want to be the guy that runs out there. This is hold the microphone up to your mouth.
Absolutely not. So I'm playing charades, you know, hold it by your face. And so they'll do it for two words and then it's back to mumble, 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 mumble.
Right.
So then I have to explain to my boss, no, it's not a Harrison Ford interview. They did not have the microphone by their face.
The example that comes to mind instantly when I say disaster at a wedding. You're sipping?
Yes, I'm sipping. Not thinking. Drinking. That tends to affect things. I know it's a surprise.
With the best man speech or with everything?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a former producer on the show. Mike Jacobson is getting married next Saturday, and I believe I'm the only one from the station that was invited.
Oh. Yeah, he never liked the rest of us.
And I'm attending, and I'm thinking about getting drunk and commandeering a microphone and giving some sort of speech.
I think that's a good call.
I think because everyone likes a little fun in those wedding videos.
Sure.
I think, right?
Sure.
They don't need the standard sap.
Well, look, here's an example of maybe what not to do. It was at a wedding. It doesn't matter who. And the bride was lovely. And the brother was the best man. And the brother stood up in front of the grandparents and the kids at the wedding and said, you know, the first time we saw her, we were trying to figure out who was going to sleep with her first. So sweet. So sweet. So sweet. A really great way to remember the day. The book, again, is called You Stay Classy, Wedding People. Why do we need it?
Why do we need it? Because it will make you laugh. It will cheer up your day and all this politics and divisiveness. This is a nice distraction. It's to prevent a bad wedding from a bad wedding from happening. And plus, I think fans of the Steve Cochran Show and Moron Entertainment will appreciate this book because it may contain a joke or two or 37 about the great Kanye West.
Is that right?
So I get that going for me.
Which very, is nice. Very nice.
The you said, have you ever shot a bride and groom that you could tell don't seem like they like each other?
Good question.
Absolutely. There was one in the church. The bride kept turning to her right, looking at the groom, like inquisitively, like he just offered her, hey, do you want the rust proofing and the undercoating? And at the dinner, I'm talking to the DJ, and he's like, I'm surprised this is happening. I'm like, why? He's like, well, they got into a fight in my office 3 days ago, and she said the wedding's off.
Oh, so you were surprised the wedding was happening?
Yeah, he was surprised the wedding happened, because she broke up with him 3 days prior, but I guess they...
Can you tell? I mean, to extend that question, can you tell when you see a couple? You go, nah, not a shot. 2 years, maybe. 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
How about the families?
Families... You've heard the term helicopter mom. Well, mm-hmm. A lot of these are helicopter families. You know, that everybody wants to try to chime in and say, oh, you need to do it this way. You need to do it this way. And you need one person in charge.
So you get the same stuff the DJ gets? You get this, like, DJ gets play this, play that. You get the, oh, yeah, I got to get a picture of this. Here,
absolutely.
Do that.
All the stories in the book are arranged by category. So there is a Zilla chapter. There's a Bridezilla, Groomzilla, and a Famzilla. And I had one where there are no less than 47 members of the family were each telling me what to do every 14 seconds.
That wedding was fun.
It was
John.
Not fun.
You know, there was, I think it went nuts on the internet, the photographer at the wedding who had to push the the stepmother out of the way.
I do that every week.
That's what I was going to ask. Okay. People have to get in your way.
It's like a paparazzi red carpet event, and I don't apologize for it, and I will absolutely step in front of somebody that mother was wrong. She's going to ruin it for her child, because then they're paying all this money, and then the daughter gets, well, all these heads are in the way. What kind of crappy photos are this? I want a refund. It's like, you know, that's your mom. So it's up to the professional to be like, okay, you're in my way. I'm just going to go step right in front of you, and I don't care.
What are the ethics of this? Because do you feel like I just got to get the shot? Or if you see something embarrassing, you won't include it because you don't want the bride and the groom to go, oh, God, I wish that wasn't in this.
It depends. If it's something that's important, I will get the shot. But yes, if it's embarrassing... Example, we were taking some photos down on the lake, and one of the bridesmaids starts running, and everybody's going, yeah! They're all cheering her on. So I'm shooting one thing, so I just hear people cheering, and I start shooting. She runs about 100 yards to a bunch of bushes, lifts her dress, and squats. And I'm like, ugh. Because a lot of times, you know, I'm worried about everything else.
You don't want to miss anything.
Right, I don't want to miss anything.
You could have missed that.
I could have missed that. But like I was going to say, there's so many things going on. Is my light, how's my white balance? Is the light going good? Is there tape left? I'm looking at all these things except for the shot. And then once I looked at the shot, I'm like, ah. So I had to kind of rewind that, and that I recorded over that.
Amber?
Well, first of all, as far as that mother getting pushed out, if I'm paying someone to take good shots of me and I'm going to get one of those, I'm not looking at the camera, half laughs and laughs and I look amazing, then you can knock over any person that right. is getting in the way of that. So have you had to talk? Now everybody is really into orchestrating their engagements and wedding photos that almost don't even look like... They look like they're a Hollywood thing and they're not even a real event. Do you ever try to talk them out of maybe doing so much staging?
Yeah, because then they're not in the moment anymore. And they're all about, you know, the fake wave and the fake mm-hmm. smile. And then they're not really enjoying it and living it. There's too many times, like you see at concerts, people have their cell phones. Mm-hmm. And they're busy watching the concert in their cell phone instead of just enjoy the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, is there new revenue streams now because everybody wants everything videoed and captured? Is there more money in this business than there used to be?
Unfortunately, people still try to lowball you. Mm-hmm. And you were asking me about the price earlier. I mean, I've seen people do it for $300, and you get what you pay for.
Last question, wedding songs. Unless, Justin, you have something. Wedding songs, people tend to choose songs that maybe are special to them, but they're not always songs that mean love. You know, there's songs that are about breakups that end up in weddings.
Absolutely. Obvious one is Every Breath You Take. It's about a stalker. Yes. Yeah, Sting still gets mad about that. It's like, well, maybe your lyrics should have been clearer. But not only do they hire or they pick songs that aren't really love songs, they just pick songs that may not be appropriate for any occasion.
Yeah.
I had one bridal party come in to the entire 2.5-minute version to the theme from the movie Team America.
Oh, come on.
If you're not familiar with that song, yes. There are 43 obscenities in it, including the title.
Team America. Yes, yes.
It's a fascinating business, and thank you for doing it.
Thank you for having me.
The book is called You Stay Classy, Wedding People. Get it wherever books are sold.
It's on Amazon. It's on youstayclassyweddingpeople.com. It's at the bookseller here in Chicago and A&F Books in Tinley Park.
And by the way, he's making fun of the other people, not you, when you're about to hire him for your wedding.
And, of course not, as far as you know.
Jason got booked on the show because he texted our text line and told me that he was a listener and had a book.
Appreciate you listening, too.
Yeah, you guys were actually doing texting your horror wedding stories. I'm like,
you might be an expert there.
I might have just a little.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
From the greatest radio studio in America, the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker. Wave to us when you walk by down below. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Show number 1,244. A few minutes left to tell me your just disgusting, most horrible Halloween candy story. We'll get up before 10. Our friend Dan Ponce is here.
Hey!
Very successful television star. How's Channel 9?
Oh, everything's great, Steve. It's really great to be here. Man, I feel like you're my kind of counterpart in some ways. Or maybe is Potash more your... More your
no, it's you and me.
Okay.
It's you and me. It's definitely you and me.
We're closer.
as far as Channel 9 goes, can we agree that Dean has to go?
talking trash about Dean would be a really bad career move for me. I don't want to get on his bad side anytime soon.
And Paul Conrad, when did he leave the company?
Paul always says he's got another 3 days, so but he's got so much vacation, you know, it's like he's barely there anymore.
It is true. Yeah. We used to have him on regularly, but then we thought he didn't work there anymore. He's been gone so much. You know who we like, and I'm being serious about this, Paul Rennie. Rennie, who is the boss of this radio station in Channel 9.
Yeah.
One of the better guys I've ever done.
Yeah, he's our general manager. I think he's a really fair, really great guy. He lets us be ourselves.
He gets talent,
and he's not afraid to launch new projects and get behind just kind of different kinds of media.
Yeah, look at a horrible mistake he made with the Thomas Sewell.
you said Larry. I believe Larry has a new news show coming out.
He does.
Yeah, on Sunday. So he's going to join us on Monday at 8:23 to talk about that.
All right, update us on the family before we talk about what you're doing.
Everyone's doing great. My dad, Phil Ponce, let me start with your family. Well, okay, my personal, wife and daughter, great. Yeah, I don't talk about them too much, but they're fine.
Does she have a Halloween costume yet, your daughter?
She's going to be a mouse.
How old is she?
She's five. Yeah, she just started kindergarten.
Five.
Oh, no, it's unbelievable how fast it goes.
That's unbelievable.
It's absolutely crazy.
I mean, you're 17. How could she be five?
I turned 42 in December.
Is that right?
And a lot of people... they don't think I look like that.
No, you don't. You know who looks really old? Your brother.
He looks older. His beard is getting some gray hair in it.
So. What is your brother doing?
What is he doing now? Yeah, he's the early morning anchor on Channel 32. It's some other station in town. I'm not really
sure
anyone watches it.
Yeah.
So he's my competitor on Fox 32.
He missed it.
I live in the western suburbs. I don't get that.
Two-fifths of the morning news you can get a Ponce.
Exactly.
In the town here.
Actually, when Anthony took the gig on Channel 32, between the three of us, we've covered every TV station
in the city.
Because my dad was with Channel 2, right?
That's right.
And then Channel 11.
Yeah. Yep.
I was used to be with Channel 7.
Right.
My brother's with Channel 5. Now I'm with WGN. And now Anthony's with Fox. We've got all stations covered.
That is
That's three of us. It's unbelievable.
Now, we just talked about how much we all like Paul Rennie, but let's hear about how you think about all those other bosses.
I think, you know,
just
honestly.
Just run the list.
I'm not just saying this because I'm on live radio right now. Our managers over there, I promise you, ask anyone there, are fantastic. They really let us.
It's pretty unusual.
They let us do what we want.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say nice things about Larry Wirt, but Larry Wirt, the guy that runs this company, it starts with him.
It does.
Yeah.
And it starts from the top down. And we all feel it. It's a great place to work every day. I mean, I've been there 8 years. I've been on the morning show for 5 years. And I have yet to have a bad day at work.
How about that?
I have not had a bad day at work.
That's a pretty cool thing to say.
That is, yeah.
Everybody knows you can sing, but I don't think people know what you just did. What'd you do?
Well, most people in the music world know that I started the a cappella group Straight No Chaser. I'm very proud of our work there. The group is still together, going strong. But I certainly miss it. I miss performing. I miss recording full time. And I decided I was going to make a solo album. Now, Steve, I've never really like considered myself one of the star soloists. I mean, I know I have a pretty good singing
voice,
but my voice I've always thought is kind of a backup soloist, if that makes
really?
Sense.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. So
I see you more as a Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
What's a backup soloist? Can you give me an example of somebody?
Well, so like in Straight No Chaser, we do 20 songs in every concert, and a handful of the guys who are amazing will do most of the solos. I might do two or three.
Okay.
I might sing Africa by Toto, a couple of the, and so that leads to how I developed this album. When I listen to my own solo voice, I always thought that I had kind of an 80s vibe to it. I kind of have like a Tears for Fears thing. And I was like, what if an 80s pop artist made an album in 2018? What would that sound
what,
like?
What would it sound like? For you, what is that sound? What is an 80s sound?
I think it goes to like the way it's produced, mainly in the background, a lot of synthesizer, a lot of hard-hitting beats.
Axel Foley. Yeah. Axel Foley's walking in Beverly Hills Cop.
You got to think like a little Axel Foley. You got to think a lot of George Michael Wham days.
Kenny Loggins?
I don't know about Kenny Loggins. They don't have a lot of like.
That's
like
I'm saying that as
guitar.
A compliment.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping one of the videos is going to include small shorts and a half shirt from the George Michael Wham days. Like
saxophone.
It's funny you mention that, Mary, because I'm working on my debut video and I've definitely got some like. I just went all out with like the Max Headroom theme and like. It's actually a news-themed song that I'm doing.
Is that the one you want to play when we come back?
We could play it, yeah. It's called Tell the Truth. I'm real excited about it.
All right, Tell the Truth. We'll come back and hit that in just a second.
The headlines we're following this morning.
I'm under fire again for giving her the facts, but she says I am lying. I'm under pressure, so hard to ignore. All these ugly sound bites can't take anymore. I want to hear your point of view with no distraction, but you make every story about you.
Dan Ponce is here. I like that. I like that bass. I like
that
thump.
That's good.
Plus, on top of that, it's not just well produced. I believe you hit 14 or 15 different octaves.
Yes, I flex my range there, Steve.
Funny and funny lyrics.
So that song actually, you heard the words "fake news" in there. It's actually called "Tell the Truth,"
right?
And I kind of wrote it as a combining my news career and my music career, and it's written as if the girl in the song is accusing me, the media, of lying, and I sort of turned it into a love song.
Tied it together, well done,
Dan. There's a when you talk about this and you hear that production, and you hear that. The way that even the bridge and everything about it is so, it puts a smile on your face. How do you balance the camp? Because this is serious music and you're a serious musician, but you're also playing on something that makes people happy almost because you're thinking back to somehow how cheesy it was.
That's exactly what I was going for, is that I wanted to write some songs that just kind of take people back to when 80s are about fun, they're about just great, catchy hooks.
Well, this is your decade. That's when you grew up.
Yeah. I was born in 76. So, the 80s I did grow up in there.
Sandberg, same for you.
Yeah, and I love that. Justin was just at a bar mitzvah last weekend, I think. Yeah.
Was it 80s themed?
No.
They were playing, they were playing the kid music, the popular songs right now, like Kendrick Lamar and whatever. And then they said, we're going to play some.
For the adults.
Some of the adult music. And it was.
Well, the mom, Gina, she went and got, she's like, we need to get the adults out. So she went to an 80s song, but she went to Def Leppard. She went to Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yes.
But that came out, and it was interesting because I don't think a lot of the 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds in the room had ever heard that song.
I'm realistic. I know that like 13-year-olds and 17-year-olds aren't going to be buying my music. I want to create an album that people my own age and hopefully a little younger too.
This is a great niche.
That's a great niche.
Well, and the point is, Justin told us, and I was like, oh, I love Pour Some Sugar At Me. Like, we all were like, yeah, we'd love another song like that.
Did the kids like it?
The kids liked it enough. It gave them a minute to check their phones. But the big thing is that the adults were able to come in because there was this, and it wasn't because I don't think everyone was a Def Leppard fan. It just brought an emotion back. It brought this 80s thing back.
Yeah. What else are we going to play?
Do we have another? We have another cut ready. There's another song here. It's called "Might Not Be Love."
All right, give me a thumbs up when that's ready. "Might Not Be Love." It's still in the oven for a second, John.
I was going to ask you, and I'm a big Tears for Fears fan, so I know exactly. But I heard a little more "Go West" in there. There was a little more "Go West" in there.
Yeah,
and I like that. That was really good.
Yeah, thank you.
You want to give a shout out to anybody that helped you put this together?
I got to give a shout out to my good friend who co-wrote the songs with me. His name is Joe Cameron. He's a Chicago musician and producer here, and we just kind of got hooked up by a mutual friend. We started writing about a year ago, and now we have an album of 10 original songs.
Tell me that process when you're writing with somebody you don't know.
That is a great question. You know, we always start. People say, "What comes first, the music or lyrics?" But the music for us always came first, and we would come up with a vibe, and then we'd kind of think, what does this song sound like? What are we going for with this? And so sometimes one of us would come with a track with just a chord progression with a little riff, and we would go from there. So
you know, it's funny. They always kid because I'm the musical director of the show, so I write all these parody songs. And what I hate,
you did a great job.
But it's fun. But what I hate about it is it's in my head forever, and I can't get rid of them.
I'm going to be singing fake news all day.
So that's what I'm saying. So when you're writing this, are you driving to work, doing anything?
It's like, no question. The song that we played last, where I was driving home from work, and I was listening to this report about these at this Trump rally and how they were attacking these reporters, and I was like, I want to write a song that kind of defends the media in my own special way,
right?
And I came up with this song, "Tell the Truth," and the fake news theme is kind of in there a little bit, and that's how I got that idea. And by the time I was home from WGN and I got home, I had the chorus written. And I called up Joe, and I was like, "Hey, man, we got another song we got to do here." So, we had this song written, and you know, all the best songs musicians will say just come really quickly.
What do you call the album?
Excuse me. The album is called Retrofit, and I thought kind of captured my idea to kind of capture some 80s.
Where are we buying it?
It is on iTunes. It is on Amazon. It is also streaming. I'm hoping to get people to iTunes and Amazon first so I can kind of recoup some of my expenses. This is the first time I've made an album without a major record label behind me, so, you know.
Yeah, it's okay.
Now, does this mean you're no longer doing Straight No Chaser?
Correct. Yeah, Mary, I left Straight No Chaser a while ago. The group is still doing great. I'm hoping that their fans will give this album a shot, too.
Yeah, very good. What's this one we're going to hear?
This one is track number 2 on the album. It's called "Might Not Be Love."
Might Not Be Love. Here we go. It's Dan Ponte.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, the 80s just walked in.
This game between us, both one on the winning side. I don't want to get my hopes up. You don't know if you'll be satisfied. There's no pressure to say forever. But it's all good. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe I've been coming on too strong. Maybe I've been playing coy. But giving in a little bit so wrong. I don't need to be your final choice. There's no place to say forever, but I wanna do what I love to. I'm feeling something, there's no reason to fight it. Fresh of excitement, and I wanna ride it. Even if it doesn't last, we'll survive it. It might not be love, but it's all good.
Dan Ponte. That's really, 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 really good.
Dan, we mentioned production. You hear the production all over that. But as a vocalist,
What's an 80s sound for vocalists? What do you, because you hear it, the breathiness and the and it's the a, over kind of
a great
like,
question, Justin. So as a vocalist, I just sang exactly how I sing. And that was my point, is that I feel like my voice, my solo voice, my natural voice just kind of lends itself to the 80s.
You don't hear that anymore in music.
Yeah,
that
man.
Kind of like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you got enough crossover in there. The kids may actually
buy
this.
You don't have that voice, Justin.
I don't need it. I got it inside of me.
Last question. What's the family think?
They love it. They've been listening to this music as I've kind of rolled it out. My dad is my biggest fan and biggest critic, so I know he's a big fan of this.
Well, your dad's a great talent, too.
Yeah, he is. He's a good singer, too.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely
a really good singer. So
I think it's good to have a dad that's a critic, because if you just were told all the time, oh, this is great, this is great, you don't really have any life experience.
You end up growing up getting into show business?
Yeah, and then you're shocked if somebody doesn't like some of your work. So it's good.
I've always said that he's been more interested in my music than he is in my TV career.
Hey, man, congrats.
Thanks so much. I hope people check it out there. My hashtag I'm using is Dan Ponce Music.
Dan Ponce Music, easy track there. But also, listen, go to iTunes. You know, Christmas is coming. We got to buy some toys.
I appreciate it.
And pick it up. Album again is called?
Album is called Retrofit. Steve, thanks so much for having me on.
It's
great to see all you guys.
It's great to see you. Yeah, I'm lobbying Paul Rennie for a one-hour special. Not for me, for you to sing the album.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it.
All right, Bill and Wendy coming up live from Tree Time in a moment on 720 WGN. First off, Domity is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and he's hanging out till that starts in just minutes on 720 WGN. Before we go, we should wish our friend Mike, a former pro.
Oh, no, that's next week.
Oh, we should keep it to ourselves. Before we go, we should keep it to ourselves.
I've scheduled congratulations to having next
Friday. The emotional moment can be next week.
Like I said, Mike, stop trying to get on the show. It's next week. Next week is your wedding. We may not be here Monday because tonight's the Mega Millions.
Oh, right.
And
I already committed to coming in. Even if we win, I'm committed to coming in.
Oh, you are such an egomaniac.
Just,
you're going to have $25 million?
Project. If I win millions, I want this to be the pet project.
Like, actually, based on the fact you're going to be a billion tonight after taxes taking a lump sum payment, it's $50 million a person.
Still, and you know what? I just want to inform and entertain the masses.
Okay. Right. By the way, John, we bought Mega Millions tickets yesterday and signed a contract. Bad day to miss work.
Yeah, you're out.
Okay, guy, I don't understand.
I'll give you some of mine, buddy.
You got no shot with me.